Turtles on the Super NES, Turtles on the Game Boy, Turtles on Genesis. When Turtles get re-released, you can play Turtles every time. Four Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles games I've played, nine that I haven't. If you look at the list of titles on the Cowabunga Collection, you have a 50-50 chance of guessing 33% or 66% correctly. Cowabunga. These are the heroes in a half shell. Now it's time for your fully human hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki to tell you more about this and the rest of the week's gaming news. Starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
That is too much math in the intro. Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are back and live once again tonight on March 13th of 2022 with this episode number 906 of our show. My name is Rob Roberts, and I am joining you live here as we record Sunday nights at twitch.tv/VOG Network, VOG Network. And I am joined by my co-hosts. Say hello first off to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Yo.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right. I hate time-changing, stupid shenanigan bullshit.
See, I'm in a quandary. I'm in a conundrum when it comes to daylight savings because I love daylight savings. I love when it's light out until like 8 o'clock at night. I love that because I can go out walking and stay out a long time. I hate the spring forward part because I just want to stay
on
daylight.
You can walk
forever.
In the dark.
No, I'll
unlike
get eaten by a
group. People like me, you won't be in as big of a danger of being jumped in the middle of the park.
Animals don't care about any of that. So that's what I'm afraid of. I've literally seen coyotes out by the river.
One of my friends pointed out in her podcast that when they do advice for runners, for guys, it's stay hydrated, bring music. For women, it's how to avoid getting jumped.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not trying to diminish, like, obviously that is fucked up, but that has to be a concern. I completely understand. But, you know, I don't like walking in the dark out there because there's...
I actually do.
I prefer
night. I like it dark outside. You know, I like...
Then stay up late.
Brightness is bad for my head.
Right. Also joining
us... You have to stay hydrated. Because those women give chase, and it can be very strenuous.
That is really actually not funny.
Stop it. Techmaster Loki. Sorry. Trying to be funny. All right.
Trying, but unsuccessful as usual.
All right. Well, let's talk about something actually awesome, and that is the game playing behind you tonight. What is that?
Freaking That's love Loom. That game.
That's right. It's Loom.
It's one of my favorite games ever.
What made you decide to do Loom tonight?
I don't know. I couldn't think of what I was going to do. And I've done like Monkey Island and Sam & Max. So I figured Loom would be appropriate.
Okay. I like that.
We'll have to get Indiana Jones in there at some point.
And behind me on my machine over here in the corner, correct in chat, YYR. Hi, YYR is in chat tonight because we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VOG Network, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And YYR says, I see something bad in your background there. Yes, so my Burger Time machine is actually like, it's basically a Data East collection machine is what it is. So it also has Bad Dudes on it. So I decided, you know what, I've had Burger Time like every episode. Let's do Bad Dudes. And then in future weeks, we will also see Karate Champ and Caveman Ninja, which are also on, or Joe and Mac, as
called
in other regions. Are
you a bad enough dude to rescue the president?
Well, no, I'm terrible at the game. I am not a bad enough dude to rescue the president. That is that. SG100 Matt says, Rob is a bad enough dude to stay awake after an exhausting week. Yeah, okay. Let me address this because I've been talking about it on my socials. Yes, I got to do a dream show hosting last night, a bucket list thing. We had John Waters in town, and I got to introduce him as he did his speaking show. And we did a really kick-ass drag show after. So much talent that was on stage. And my understanding is John Waters actually stayed for the vast majority of the drag show and watched it. And I do know he went down and introduced himself to the drag performers. He was great. He was such a nice guy.
Who were the queens that were there?
My favorite name, Diana Hull, is my favorite name that was there.
Wondering if any of my friends were there, like Apple or Mercury.
No, I think Mercury's doing an upcoming show, maybe. I don't know. But okay. You know Dawn Davenport. Drag king. So obviously Don Davenport had to do the John Waters show.
Of course.
I don't know if you know, Queens specifically were Diana Hull, Bijou Bentley, and Chris Frant. And then obviously we have non-binary, Red for Filth, Gabby, and you know, so we have you know,
cool.
all sorts
Some
of
people
representation.
I know. Yeah. I'm sad I didn't get to go, but I had to work.
Yeah, I understand. Some video is getting out. Not of the John Waters, that's strictly prohibited, but the drag performance. There was definitely some shocking stuff, and it was what you would expect at a John Waters drag
Support
show.
Support your local queens, y'all.
Absolutely. And my other thing with that is that even though I know I'm in radio mode now and I'm being very outgoing, so I've been posting nice photos on social media. Here's the part you don't see. The part where I had to park in the hotel parking garage at the hotel John Waters was staying at and take 5 boxes of books with 20 books each over to the lobby so he could sign them and then take them back to my car. So my back is in so much pain today because I was given a dolly, but the dolly was garbage. Like it was easier for me to pick it up and carry them. And then obviously me going running up and down stairs all around the theater. Like that's the part you don't see the pictures of. So I wake up this morning I don't wake up this morning. I don't sleep last night at all. Mm. And I think it's because I ate crap for dinner because nothing was open. So I was like, you know what? I'll go to Jack in the Box. Yeah, I'm diabetic, but like, I'll just like not have sauce with the nuggets and I'll only eat half the fries, which is still about 40, 50 carbs, which is within my budget, but it's still like, it's just not good food to be eating, especially that late at night, especially when I've been eating pretty decently lately. So I think a combination of all those things, I could not sleep. And then of course, what else happens last night? Daylight savings. Could not sleep. So I'm supposed to get up at 8:30 this morning because I have a dress rehearsal for Clue at 11 today. I called out. I messaged the director. I said, I'm so sorry. I can't get out of bed. Like, I physically can't get out of bed right now. And It's like, I hate breaking commitments. I hate it. But it's one of those things where I have to step back and realize what is the greater sin? Calling out because I do feel like I have a legitimate reason, or showing up and being fucking miserable for 3 hours because I didn't sleep and I'm in my 40s. What is actually going to end up being worse? It's going to be me there, not wanting to be there in full drag. I'll just say it, in full drag for the role that I'm doing. You may notice I don't have a beard right now. I will just say that. And So I felt really horrible about that. And honestly, I'm still really tired. I'm just pushing through the show tonight for y'all. I'm ready. I cannot wait to go to bed early tonight. And tonight, I'm going to take a melatonin to make sure I fall asleep. Mm. All right. Anyway.
You just described, like, my entire condition.
You know what's funny is that I was like, what? Because I've heard of the whole, like, if you have, like, a vitamin D deficiency, or is it B12 or D? I can't remember.
Both, actually. But either can do it.
Honestly, earlier today, I was like, I need to take a multivitamin. Because I was like, maybe it'll help. Maybe it'll. And I certainly feel better than I did this morning. So,
I will tell anybody who though is dealing with at least chronic fatigue, like I have to deal with, get your blood tested. If you find that you've got a fatigue lasting for longer than a week, get your stuff tested. Test your vitamin levels, test your parathyroid, test your thyroid, test your pituitary. If you can, go to an endocrinologist. And I'm just saying, I'm just bouncing off of what you're saying because I know yours is just situational.
Yeah.
But for anybody who
has
ongoing fatigue, see your doctor.
Well, and also, you know, I also have the diet. I've been very open about the diabetes thing. And even though my blood sugar is super under control, it does lead to, you know, can have some issues there, especially after eating like shit. So, you know. All right. Anyhow, I know it's a video game show and not a Rob Vince about his problems show, but sometimes it's both. So let's get into some actual gaming news. Some big gaming news. We had a surprise PlayStation State of Play this week. We got quite a bit of news out of it. Loki, why don't I go to you to help us recap the PlayStation State of Play?
So, yeah, State of Play, lots of announcements. So they had a bunch of different trailers. Some of these we've kind of seen some things before. Some we haven't. Like, I don't remember if we've seen the Dio Field Chronicle, but apparently it's kind of a almost like a cross between like Final Fantasy Tactics or Fire Emblem or something like that. But it's a game that looks like from Square Enix. The Valkyrie Elysium, which is a new Valkyrie profile game.
A lot of people psyched about that. That's for sure. A lot of people.
Definitely pretty cool.
I mean, that series has been asleep for a little while, so that's pretty exciting.
There's a game that looks like it'd be something that I might be interested in, Exo Primal. They're saying it's like a cross between almost like Overwatch and Earth Defense Force. All you have to say, it's a cross of Earth Defense Force, and I'll check it out. But like, that's something that's coming from Capcom. What else?
Can I just say the chat really commenting on that? Because Orange Ride is saying, I saw a lot of OMG Dino Crisis. Oh, wait, it's not Dino Crisis. And SG100 Matt says, the not Dino Crisis game.
It's like, you know, Lost Planet and Dino Crisis mixed together or something like that, maybe.
Maybe that's what they plan to do with rival schools after all these years. You're going to get fighting colleges.
Fighting colleges? I think that's the new Saints Row game, but, you know.
Questbuster in chat says, a streamer I was watching during the announcement was freaking out, thinking it was Dino Crisis at first, and then was utterly confused when it showed more. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, you were expecting Final Fantasy Tactics, but it was Dio Field Chronicles. Yeah, it's just, I feel like there were a couple of those announcements where it was like, we're bringing this back. I mean, where was the space shoot 'em up meets Zelda Overworld Explorer? And then, oh no, it's not the Guardian Legend. It's this. I mean, where was that? Just to fuck with us further.
They had Returnal Ascension, which is adding a co-op mode to Returnal and a new area. So there's a teaser for that. Yet another trailer for Ghostwire Tokyo, which is supposed to be coming out here pretty soon, like in the next week or two. Yeah, it looked interesting. Curious to hear more about that. Forspoken had a new trailer. So, you know, it shows some of the gameplay this time. And then, of course, we got another trailer for Strangers of Paradise Final Fantasy Origin, which it's something. It's unique, I guess.
Which apparently has a new demo, but I don't think they're putting any of the demos on Series X because I've been looking for them and I can't find them.
Well, the game's not coming out on PlayStation, I think. It says it's only PlayStation 4 and 5.
I thought, well, of course it's going to say that in the state of play, but I'm pretty sure.
Well, that's not necessarily true because on the not Dino Crisis game, it says it's coming to PlayStation 4, 5, Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, and PC in 2023.
I thought for sure that Strangers of Paradise was an Xbox X game.
It could be. Let's see here. Yeah, it says it is. Okay. Yeah.
But and for PC. Whatever reason, they're just not putting the demos out on Series X, which, you know, I get it. PlayStation.
It's that PlayStation exclusive. Yeah, gotta get those exclusive demos that.
It is what it is.
Exclusive demo for Final Fantasy Origins and Bethesda, you know, so it's about the same, right? It evens out. What else? So we've also got, there was a trailer for Gundam Evolution, which is interesting. That's a free-to-play shooter game. This massive TMNT, the Cowabunga Collection.
A lot of our audience talking about that.
I didn't realize there were so many Ninja Turtle games, actually.
Right?
Yeah, well, it's also weird, too, because, like, you know, there's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the arcade game, obviously. And then there's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade game. So it's like you can play the arcade version or you can play the NES version.
Okay, so here's the thing. Before chat lights up, because I know they're fast and furious typing, because I got called out on this on Discord too, because I said that in chat. I was like, why? I mean, it's nice for completionist reasons that we get the NES TMNT 2, the arcade game. But why would you choose to play that when the actual arcade game is there, other than the completionist, this is my childhood memory and all that stuff? And then I was reminded there were bonus levels in the NES version. I had completely forgot about that. Okay. But you know what you don't have? The voice acting. Tonight I died on turtle soup. Like, you don't have any of that in the NES version. So I do want to point that out. There are things missing from the NES version that I think are pretty awesome.
So, yeah, so basically you have a lot of different games, so 13 games. So the arcade game, you've got Turtles in Time, the Ninja Turtles NES game, which is super hard. Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade, Turtles 3, the Manhattan Project, Tournament Fighters for the NES. I didn't remember that being on the NES. I thought that was on Super Nintendo. Turtles in Time.
I think it was right in that era where they were still making NES games, and probably they were getting bought more in other regions than just North America.
Yeah, because I remember Tournament Fighters on Super Nintendo and Genesis.
Super Nintendo game. Yeah.
Because they had that Blockbuster challenge thing a while back with NBA Jam and Turtles and the Tournament Fighters that you had to do. So I remember playing that.
God, that's right.
So they had Tournament Fighters on Super Nintendo and Genesis. The Hyperstone Heist on the Genesis. I think I mentioned Turtles in Time. Fall of the Foot Clan from Game Boy. Ninja Turtles 2 Back from the Sewers. And Turtles 3 Radical Rescue all on the Game Boy. So that's quite the collection. It's coming out later this year.
Yes, it is. I feel like it's missing something. Didn't they do a reboot on Xbox 360? Like
they did.
Arcade game inspired game.
Yeah,
I mean it's probably too late. Like I know it was on 360 arcade.
Well, there's so the new one that's coming out too. That's not out yet.
Yeah, of course that's not going to be in it. But yeah, Turtles in Time reshelled. Is that what it was?
I think so.
Anyway, but still, I mean, basically what this is, it's the Castlevania collection. It's the Contra. Was there a Contra collection? There was a Contra collection, right? They're the classic Konami arcade collection. It's that, but now with Ninja Turtles. But I think a lot of people are surprised because this one feels a lot more complete. Because the Castlevania collection was missing stuff, right? Hence why we got the Castlevania Advance collection. And I still feel like there's hella Castlevania games we're missing. But I can also understand. If you're going to have to go through the hassle of getting the licenses of the Ninja Turtles, you know, because this has to be a partnership. Who owns the Nickelodeon has the rights now?
Paramount.
So that umbrella. Well, that's part of Paramount. Yeah. So they have to get the license there. And then I guess EA probably doesn't have license rights anymore, right? Because they did at one point, because I remember that was the Xbox 360. They had to go through that. So this feels very complete. And I think it's because of the licensing and the fact that they're only going to do it once. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
But that's exciting. I guess this is Konami's business now. Just milking the retro games and collections. I don't hate it. You know, I'm still very much like, why won't you just like fucking... Well, no, I don't want them doing a new game. I want them selling the IP to someone who could do it justice. Like, why won't you sell the Silent Hill IP to somebody else?
They tried new games with, like, what was it? That soccer game that they just put out and the Metal Gear Rise... Or, no, the Metal Gear
game. There was a Contra game.
And the Contra games. That's 3 for 3 for sucking. So it's like...
No,
maybe don't try anymore.
Konami can't make games. But they can make good partnerships. Because that's all this... These are good partnerships, is what these collections are. So,
What else? They had a trailer for Gigabash, which looks like War of the Monsters. JoJo Bizarre's Adventure All-Star Battle R. So, it's... I think it's a re-release, maybe? Or remaster or something like that? And then a new trailer for Trek to Yuma, or Yomi, Trek to Yomi.
That's a lot of stuff for 20 minutes. That's pretty impressive. I have to admit, I wasn't able to watch it live. I had to kind of get the recap and the wrap-ups just because I had a work meeting at the time, because it was 2 o'clock Pacific, so there was no way I could watch it live. But I thought it was pretty action-packed. Dr. Tsuya in chat says, for the record, I liked Rogue Corps, and that's talking about the Contra game, but it had its issues, sure. And to be fair, you know, Loki did mention a 3 for 3 Konami suckfest there. If we take the popular opinion, you know, there's always going to be somebody that sticks up for the bad stuff. I get it. But if you go a little further back, just a little further back, there was that Bomberman game that released on the Switch and then It was good. It wasn't like OMG, but it was good. And they did a lot of crossover characters with it. It was cute. So, you know, okay, yes, Konami, at least in the last decade, has made one decent game. One.
Well, there was, I thought there was another, so there was that one Contra game, and I thought they did, like, another Contra game as well that was, like, more of a side-scroller, but anyway, I think that was, like, a mobile game?
Yeah, mobile or the collection. You're probably just thinking of the
collection. But I think the mobile game was better than, well, it was better than the Switch game, that's for sure.
Okay, Orange Rite does say they did a mobile game.
And there were other Ninja Turtle games that apparently were missing because I saw some screenshots of some from the DS and Game Boy Advance that are not part of that collection. So it's incomplete still.
Got it. Sorry, I'm learning. Yeah, some of the folks that are watching live are like, it's recursive OLR. Yeah, I don't know how to fix that yet. I'll figure it out. I just have to hide my own output on Discord. I'm sure there's an easy way to do it. But yeah, when Dark Soccer turns off her camera, it puts her in the lowest position on Discord. So, which, you know, people are allowed to get away and use the potty and whatever they do, but then it shows instead the output that my co-hosts are seeing so they can watch the show. So I'll just turn that off.
We should have recursive OLR. It'll be funny.
Recursive OLR?
Yeah, it'll just go into like a void. It'll just be forever.
Forever. YYR does want to point out in our chat room over twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Don't forget, Konami has continued producing Bomani all this time, and it's still good. Actually, they just launched a new Bomani game in Japan. I'll give you that.
Fair enough.
And they've been doing the PC subscription things, which I don't like the model, but people have been buying into it, and they seem to enjoy it. So good for them. I feel like, even though I know this might not be true anymore, I know Konami has reorged since the 90s. But in my heart, in my brain, I still feel like there's the Konami, there's K-Set, Konami, what is it, Computer Entertainment Tokyo, that did the home games.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Konami Arcade that does the arcade machines. And I guess that would be tied to like pachinko and slots and all that is the same. I don't know. In my head, it is. Whether I'm right or wrong, just roll with me here. And in my brain, we don't have K-Set anymore because it's not fair for me to say K-Set is a flop because we don't have that anymore, but like the space that used to fill is kind of a flop. The arcade side of the house doing just fine. My brain is like, there are two Konamis. One is bad. The other is bad. Konami is bad. No, I'm just kidding. But one is bad. The other is pretty decent. So, you know, it's weird in my brain. So, oh, hi. Guest appearance by Alan, who brought me Starbucks. Come say it in the mic. Come say it in the mic. Alan has a joke, y'all.
Inside of everyone, there
really
are...
Really close, really close.
Inside of everyone, there are two Konamis.
All right, thank you. A random Alan appearance on this lovely evening.
Well, if it's Jack in a Box, it's going to be the shit Konami, I guess.
Can we not talk about that? All right. Anyhow, let's. Was that it for PlayStation State of Play? Did we miss anything?
That was it. Yep.
Okay. Let's move on then. So, as has been a recurring theme for the last couple weeks here on the show, there's a lot of stuff going on in the real world, obviously, and is continuing to go on in the real world. As much as we wish Vladimir Putin would end this unnecessary invasion that he is doing. And a lot of you again might ask, what does this have to do with gaming? Well, we have some answers for you. Gaming industry continues to respond. Right, Loki?
Yeah, so I think this is just following the sanctions that are on the country, but lots of different game companies are basically suspending business and sales in the country. So Microsoft, Activision Blizzard, Ubisoft, Epic Games, they have suspended sales in those regions. They've, you know, either blocked accounts or whatever the case may be. Yeah, so Epic Games, you know, they've stopped commerce with Russia in our games in response to its invasion of Ukraine. And we are not blocking access for the same reason other communication tools remain online. The free world should be free and open, they said. What else? And then we've got, of course, you know, I mean, lots of different companies are coming out. CG Projekt Red came out against, you know, the war. I don't think there's really anyone coming out in defense of the war, but yeah,
nobody,
so we have lots of...
Nobody is, except
no
for...
No one's taking that wrong take.
Yeah, nobody is, except so for Vladimir. Like, it's this one, it's this... in the, especially after the last, what, 10 years in politics, give or take?
Yeah.
It's like the one thing everyone agrees on.
Yeah, it's... so no Xbox is going to Russia, unfortunately. Same with Nintendo. Nintendo is not shipping any more of Nintendo Switch to Russia as well. And they are also delaying indefinitely the Advance Wars game because, you know, war game during war, probably not the greatest look. So that's what they're thinking, and they decided to push it back.
That was a little different because it's not like a Russia thing. It's a this reads really bad in context type of thing because and Bobby went a little deeper on this topic on his show tonight, and I do remember that it like had like a very like Soviet Union inspired sort of thing, like that part I remembered, but I did not remember that the first game opens with literally that inspired thing invading another country. Like that's how it starts. So it really reads in bad context. So it's not just like war bad, bad time for it. It's like war bad and story really not good in the current context. So yeah it's gonna be a little bit before
And then the join all three, Sony has also halted PlayStation sales in Russia due to the invasion as well. So no Sony, no PlayStation, no Xbox, and no Nintendo Switch. Although Nintendo Switch, I mean, who knows? Those shortages keep happening, so it may just naturally not be there anyways. But yeah, so those no more games for them. And then, of course, along with that, we've also got Twitch is withholding payments for Russian streamers, which kind of sucks because, you know, I feel like that's more of like innocent bystanders in this case. Mm. But
no, it's a purpose. It is a purpose.
Yeah,
it is. It's an attempt to incite the public to protest and rebel.
Yeah, I understand that. But
no,
at
I get it.
Like, you know,
at face value, like there are many people in Russia that do not agree with what's going on. And I get it from their perspective. Like it seems kind of unfair. At the same time, there are many, many more people in Russia that are being lied to consistently by the media. And it's these types of things that are going to wake people up to what's really happening. Because again, everybody understands this is bad. So if you have all the facts. So anyway, so I just
right.
just to kind of
no, clarify. and I get it, and it's more of like, you know, what else are they have to do something, and so it makes sense, and it's not like they're just like we're just not going to pay you, period. They're just withholding payments for now, and you know, and I think for a lot of the streamers that were in Russia, anyways, they knew this was coming, and it was not really a huge deal. It was more of just like, you know, not a big surprise.
One thing I, also, I don't know if it was on your list or not, but, you, also had Niantic game. Cause I saw the comment in chat about, Bobby had said, the physical stopping of products is less about sanctions and more about how volatile shipping lanes are. They're worried about shipments getting destroyed. And yes, I get that, but there are some other things like, and one that obviously caught my eye is because I play a lot of Niantic games. Is that they shut off Pokemon Go and Ingress, and I'm assuming Pikmin, in Russia. They shut it off, so you can't even play the games there. And again, sucks for the people that disagree with what's happening and are, you know, good people that don't want any part of this, but it's to wake up a lot of other people. I thought this was really neat, and I was trying to find it so I could show it here on the camera. Because, you know, I play a lot of Ingress, which is Niantic's other game. And I thought this was cool. It looks like it's unfortunately fallen apart a little bit, but this is actually in Moscow. Before they pulled the game, they actually did some field art that was supposed to look like – it doesn't look like it now because the portals are showing so big, but it was supposed to be a little dove holding a peace branch. So you have to imagine like you're looking at like a constellation, I guess, at this point. It actually looks like if you kind of imagine you see the wing there and it's actually a dove holding a peace branch. And an act of protest like that is technically kind of like against, you know, the law, I guess, if you will, that, you know, that they don't enjoy many of the same freedoms we have in the Bill of Rights here in the U.S. And I thought that was awesome that enough people that are aware of what's going on in the situation kind of got together to do that before the plug was pulled, because now that means that's stuck there. And that's an image that's floating right over Moscow until the game gets turned back on. Well, you want to get technical. Technically, if you don't recharge portals within 7 days, they decay and they belong to no faction. My assumption is they thought that through and somebody outside of Russia has keys to those portals to recharge them so it can stay up. But I am making an assumption there. So, but I just thought that was a neat act of protest for sure. All right. Any other boycott issues going on?
No, that's all that I've seen so far. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of other ones, but
just, all right,
you know.
Well, there's another half to everybody. This. There's another half to this. I wanted to get to Dark Sakura for, but it looks like she stepped away for just a moment. Let me see if we have some other chat comments we can get to here. Thank you, SHO100 Matt over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork says Russia has been arresting folks protesting by the thousands. Yep. Props to these folks protesting, even though there is a good chance they will get arrested. Yeah.
I didn't step away.
For sure. Oh, okay. Then let's
in a good mood.
Let's go to the other half of this.
Russia is encouraging piracy.
How so?
That's it. They're wanting people to pirate movies, pirate games, anything to get around it. They have unblocked a Rue tracker so that Russians can pirate different films. So, yeah, they're trying to get around everything.
Yeah, and some people, I think, have been kind of very tongue-in-cheek saying, well, wasn't piracy kind of already a thing there anyway? You know,
Until now.
I think, well, if you know where to look, piracy is a thing everywhere, let's be real. You know, and again, I don't endorse piracy in gaming. But I understand I have said the words out of my mouth that I do endorse piracy when you can't get a hold of the game through legal means. I suppose I'm now in a bit of a quandary because that's kind of what these folks in Russia are trying to do. I'm not saying I support it because obviously I don't support the war and all that, and I want people to be aware of what is going on. But I do feel like my brain has divided by zero a little bit because I'm like, I kind of like it's a logical thing to happen in response to what Hollywood gaming, et cetera, has done. It's one of those things where it's like, I don't like it, but I get it. Mike Deft in chat says, Russia is taking the do what you want because a pirate is free motto to heart. Dijirama S, co-host of Anime Jam Session, also kind of reminds us, also included in boycotting, Funimation, Crunchyroll, Sony, no more anime streams, unless, I suppose, they are pirating it, because now the government has really no reason to enforce trademark or any of that stuff, enforce international copyright or trademark or any of that. So, anyway.
Well, who's going to do business with that that country afterwards when this all gets resolved eventually?
I feel like the Russian government is just setting things further and further and further back, like just doing more and more permanent damage. Like it's already going to take so long for things to get back to where they were. Well, I don't even think things can ever get back to where they were unless there's different people in charge. I suppose that's how things get back to where they were. You know, and then hopefully a better direction even, but it's going to take a big move like that. And I don't think that's coming anytime soon. And that's why, you know, to circle back to the gaming stuff, that's why a game like Advance Wars 1 and 2, that's why they refunded all of the money. And that's why they, you know, they don't have a new date for any of that. I think we just don't know how long this is going to take.
Wait, you're supposed to refund people money on things when you don't have a date when something's going to be released? Looking at you, Tommy.
Hey, ooh, oof, oof, Oof. Roblox. Oof. Nintendo just doesn't know when it's ever going to be safe to release the game. So, and it's going to take this ending, which could be a very, very long time, for that to be appropriate. So, all right, let's move on and get to our next segment and talk a little bit about our gaming weeks and the types of things we've been playing to take our mind off of these horrific things in the world and so forth. Dark Sakura, as usual, I'll start with you. How was your gaming week?
I've been playing Chrono Trigger, and I actually had a problem yesterday where I didn't realize until almost the end of my stream that my mic was muted because no one was talking in my chat. But but Shane came by.
Oh, cool.
And we chatted for a bit. And some random person came in and wanted to challenge me to a Chrono Trigger quiz, which, of course, I got and guessed the bonus point question before they even asked. It was the one about the, like, what were the name of the gurus? And I was like, well, it's named after the three wise men of legend. So, you know, Caspar, Balthazar, and Melchior, who is, you know. And he's like, well, that actually was the other question, because it was, you know, who they were. I'm like, well, okay. But it was really fun. As I welcomed them to come back in and do the quiz when other people were in there, when I'm playing Chrono Trigger. So that's on Saturday and Wednesday, 8:30 Pacific. I just got the Epoch last night, so pretty happy. And I'm back in the Kingdom of Zeal with my favorite music in the game. And of course, I'm playing Dead by Daylight. I'm holding off on Fantasian because, honestly, I'm kind of bored. I'm just in that part where I'm too low level to do boss battles, so it'd be nothing but a grind until I'm ready to do the other things. So it is what it is. So I've decided to put off Fantasian until after I get back from LA for my birthday, just to give myself like a little. We're gonna see other games. We're gonna see other games. But I'm also still playing Wordscapes. It's pretty fun. I've also been playing a little bit of just, you know, pinball in general around the house. And yeah, but by the way, I got 3 adepts the day Sadako came out. I adepted Sadako first day.
Congrats.
I adepted Artist, which I've been trying to do, and I just finally just went in and did it. And guess who else I adepted? This one is a surprise for me.
You were trying to do Billy Blight. When I was watching, and I was like, "That is, I hate Billy." But anyway,
I hate Billy.
Oh, you got
and you
Blight?
Saw how close I got a couple of times, right?
I was lurking, so I was kind of like
there were 2 hatch escapes
watching.
On my best games.
Oh, ah, damn!
But I adepted Blight.
That's hard. Blight's hard to control.
I've played Blight 3 times, including that game.
Oh, congrats.
It got me on Midwich, and I said, I'm going to do what I do with Huntress, and I'm going to play him as Super M1. I got a couple of rush attacks off, which, okay, that was fine. I hate Blight. I hated the outfit I put him in. I keep forgetting that he drips that crap, and he's absolutely disgusting. And it, like, he turns my stomach. He literally turns my stomach. Almost as much as the clown does when he's actually in clown makeup. It turns my stomach. It's just disgusting. But that means I never have to play Blight again, just like I never have to play Nurse again, although I am going to learn Sally. And Sally is back. We
yes.
missed her. We missed you, Miss Smithson.
Can I quickly go back to the Chrono Trigger thing for a minute? Because I'm curious about this whole pop quiz in the middle of your stream.
My stream went long because of it.
Did the person give you biddies for correct answers?
No. I wish they had, but no. They actually followed me. I mean, there was that, so.
At least there's that. At least you got a follow of it. At least, because I always find it weird. I actually kind of think it's, I mean, it depends on the streamer. Like, and again,
it didn't advertise or anything.
Yeah, but I'm just, I always find it tacky when someone comes in and wants to completely, like, say, I want to play this game. Do you want to play a game? You know, I don't know. It's weird. But, like, if they give me money,
they were really sweet about it. They're like,
okay.
A
lot of it is
you're playing
how
Chrono
you
Trigger.
Do it.
How much do you know about it? Do you mind if I test you? I'm like, I don't mind. I love stuff
All
like
right.
that.
All right. As yeah, a lot of it is how you do it, right? Like if somebody had come in and said, I bet you don't know your Chrono Trigger, I'm going to quiz you, and if you get these right, I will follow you. Okay, that's because I've
They didn't start off like that. They're just like, okay, how well would you say you know Chrono Trigger? And I'm like, it's been a while, but I think I know my stuff pretty well. And like, I was answering stuff about like the soundtrack because I've owned a copy of the soundtrack for years. And especially since it was my favorite one, my favorite song, which is the Corridors of Time. Not Corridors of Time, it's... Yeah, I think it's Corridors of Time, which is the Inhassa theme, the one for Shala's level. I have to remember it again. But yeah, I mean,
yeah,
it was fun. I had a good time. It was also nice to see Shane.
Fifth Dream in chat is where I'm thinking with this. Fifth Dream says this comment saying, oh, you have a Nirvana shirt on? Name their top 78 songs. That's like, that's where I'm like, I find that shit tacky. But you're right. And Mike Deft agrees here. It's about the how. It's the how you do it. And it sounds like it was fine in your case. But I've seen the cringe.
It was really...
Okay.
Like, if they were going to... Now, I will tell you something that one, as a female presenting... gamer gets is the gatekeeping. Oh, well, prove you're a real gamer.
I sort of was wondering if that maybe, and that's kind of why I asked what I did, if maybe that was playing into it a little. And
no,
again,
I wouldn't
it's
have participated otherwise.
Okay, good.
Because I mean, the moment that someone is like, you know, prove it, I'm like, I don't have shit to prove to you. Prove to me you're a real gamer. You know, tell me. What are all of the colored doors in Mousetrap for ColecoVision? Describe the ColecoVision controller for me. What was the first video game system that used cartridges? Do you know? Do you? Huh?
Food for thought.
What was the name of the main character in The Guardian Legend? Ha! Doesn't have a name. She's the Guardian.
Food for
Suck
thought.
Suck it, bitches.
Food for thought. You have
but,
sat...
But yeah, that's what I would do. If someone tried to make me prove things, because I don't have shit to prove to anybody.
I wouldn't even go that far. I would just say, I don't have shit to prove to you, block. Like, I would, but I, everybody has their own freedom to respond.
But if it's while I'm streaming, I'm going to get content out of it. So I'm just saying.
let's make it a clip, right?
I'll get content out of it. Sure, why not?
What was I going to say?
Words.
With that. No, I was gonna say literally Dark Sakura. I know we're not quite to 1,000 episodes, but I would say between bonus streams, bonus shows, live events, etc., you take 1,000 episodes, you multiply it by 3 hours an episode. You have easily done 3,000 hours of content where you talk about video games.
Yeah.
Online.
Yeah.
And I would ask
and even a little bit before that too.
Yeah, and I would ask these babies that try to come in and want you to prove, like, how many hours have you talked about video games? You know?
That's like the people who play Dead by Daylight. How many hours do you have in the game? Well, you can have a bajillion hours and suck at it, but at least you're talking about video
I am
games,
living
you should know
proof.
Your shit.
I am living proof. I have hundreds of hours of Dead by Daylight. I still can't fucking loop a killer, okay? Like,
oh, I'm talking about the people like, oh, I've got like 50,000 hours in Dead by Daylight. Which, for the record, I have 486 hours.
I would have thought you had more with all the streaming you do. I would have thought you had
more.
Well,
I'm streaming more, but I was only playing it when I was streaming, so.
I'm at like 300 hours. Wow.
And 67 achievements, and only one of them has to do with a survivor. I take that back. Two. The get out the gate one, and the start with a full load.
All right. I do want to...
Oh, and maybe like a boon because I played Michaela, but whatever.
I do want to acknowledge in our chat, we have a hype train going. And I know I don't usually credit all that stuff till the end of the show because we are recording a podcast. And when you're listening on the podcast feed on iTunes, Spotify, whatever it is you use to listen to podcasts, you can't see the video. You can't see these things going on. So I don't usually go out of my way to acknowledge them. But because I see a lot is pouring in right now, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for that. Really, you all are so generous and kind, and we appreciate it. Stay tuned for the end of the show. I will give everyone personal shout-outs after we roll credits. Okay, let's go to more gaming weeks. Loki, how was your gaming week?
My gaming week is pretty good because I got my computer back, and it's fixed, and it works, and that's great. It wasn't anything too bad. So apparently it's funny timing too. So it is a new to me computer that was built for somebody by Artesian Builds.
Oh no.
Who have been in a lot of hot water.
Oh, they are garbage.
Oh no.
Did you see what they were doing live on stream?
Let's go to the Wheel of Yikes. That is.
I watched that shit. That was fuck them.
Oof.
Yeah. So their company's no longer good. Which is, it's just funny though because so this computer is under warranty. Actually,
with what?
Well, it was under warranty when the company existed. You know, now that it's not existing. Maybe not so much. Through the magic, though, of internet and my wonderful XSplit VCam, we can actually take a look at this wonderful new PC.
Loki getting high tech on us now. Loki got the fancy pants set up now.
Just to explain, I'm showing off my PC case here. Of course, you got Loki on top there. So basically this is a 10900KF with a GeForce 3080 Ti, 32 gigs of RAM and 6 terabytes of hard drive, and yeah, it's fantastic, and it plays Minecraft very well because that's what I've been using it for. Because I have to. I mean it, but yeah. So I really like this. I couldn't figure out what color to make the lights because it does have all the wonderful LEDs and everything on it. But yeah, there's the horrible sticker. The sticker is on the actual fans. I can't take off. That's a magnet, so I can probably fix that. But yeah, I just wanted to kind of show that off real quick. Oh, it also has a dedicated Elgato Game Capture 4K 60 Pro MK2 inside of it too, so I could even stream some games in 4K if I had the bandwidth to do that.
If someone can clip this for the podcast listeners so that way they can see it over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, I'd super appreciate it. So, all right. Thank you for sharing that.
So, yeah.
And I love that ZenMonkey11 in chat says, can it pop popcorn?
Not that it's fixed now. So it's got a AIO cooler on it, so it doesn't get too hot. But, it probably could before, because when I first got it, there was a power cable apparently not connected to the cooler, so it never came on. And so I would try to boot it up to, like, get things working on it. And I knew it wasn't working because some of the fans weren't on, the screen wasn't on, that type of thing. And so I had to take it to a shop to fix it, because it was so tightly cable managed in there, which apparently the guy in the shop said they did it all wrong. But it was just a cable that was loose. Thankfully, though, the seller did refund me for the cost of the repair, so that was good. And I spec'd out the PC on, like, actual, like, Artisan's site, which or Artesian's website. And they have to be overcharging, because it ends up being, like, a $7,000 computer, which this is not. I certainly didn't pay that, but, like, it's fantastic. I'm not going to need to upgrade this for a long time. And when I do, you know, need to actually update it, I can, because it's not a laptop, because I've been on a laptop for a while now. So yeah, but I'll be playing lots more PC games.
Nice.
A whole ton of Minecraft still.
Nice. I want to explain really quick for the live watchers, and this is, you know, podcast people might be curious about this too. I want to explain a button that was just pushed, because I haven't seen a lot of streamers use this. So while that happened, Bobby pushed a button. And I knew he's been waiting for a good time to push the button. And what the button does is the button creates a moment. So, and this is a thing all streamers have. Well, I don't know if all streamers have access to it. I don't want to speak out of turn, but I know we got access to do this. So basically, you get it added to your profile, your collection for the channel, basically, that you were here when this epic moment happened. And you can kind of like collect these into a badge. And so Loki showing off his computer ended up being a moment there. So I think that's a neat idea for Twitch. Like, you know, you were there when this happened. So have fun. So.
Yeah, and PodCulture is saying I should make it orange. I tried orange. Orange didn't look that good with at least these LEDs. So like, I don't know. I'm not feeling orange. I had it was defaulted to like rainbow. It just kind of cycles through, But it's kind of like too much with all the LEDs on there. Plus, with the way the lighting works, there's like an app for the case. There's an app for the card. There's an app for the cooler. It's like there's three different apps I have to adjust to get the lighting all match, and it's kind of a pain in the butt.
All right.
I don't know.
Let me go to my gaming week quickly. I've had a very busy week with all the shows and everything going on, so I don't have a lot to say. However, I also played Dead by Daylight. I don't know why, but I feel like I've been playing more of it lately, which is weird because the game, there's been less people overall playing it, if you believe in the things like Steam charts and stuff like that. But I don't know. It's been like when I just need 20 minutes.
Killer Queues have been a nightmare, though.
Oh, yeah, because, well, they just released the Ringu chapter officially on Tuesday. So Sadako and Yoichi, the survivor, are in the game now. A lot of people are wanting to check out Sadako. So the killer queues get, and that's pretty much, I would say, easily half of the killers I go against right now are Sadako when I play Survivor. Which is great because most people don't know how to play her. So I've been getting a lot of Survivor points.
You want to know what's great, though?
Hmm.
Is if you are good at Hag or Freddy, she's actually pretty easy. Or Wraith.
I was going to say, you know what I've found? I have been playing a little bit of Sadako. I really like her, and I got like a 4K in my first game with her. I'm not trying to flex or anything, but I think there are some intuitive things, and I think it is because I enjoy stealth killers. I really like playing Wraith. I really like playing Spirit. I like playing those types of characters that can – and Sadako, her whole thing about warping to the television sets –
I love it.
It's so powerful. Like, and I, when I go against other Sadakos, I feel like they're not using it. Like, it's so powerful.
Oh, yeah, I was using that shit all the time because they're usually by a generator.
You're not only increasing their ear meter or whatever it's called that makes them go into instantly killable. This is the curse. Not only that, but just like those things recharge so fast that like you can port again. So anyway. I won't go get too into the weeds. I know we talk way too much about that game, but it's just, hey, it's one we both enjoy. So, yes, Sadako is a lot of fun. I don't know. I don't get into the whole tier ranking about, because a lot of people are saying she's not a high tier killer, but I'm like, I feel like I'm doing well with her. But I am also not in the highest tier level of play in the game. So who knows?
If I may say one more little thing about that.
Of course.
There's no such thing as high-tier killers. There's high-tier players with certain killers.
Fair. Okay, so yes, I've been playing a bit of Dead by Daylight. I also, on Friday night, late at night, I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I feel like streaming. I'm back from date night. Alan and I went downtown, went to Yard House, had a good meal. And then we're like, you know what? I'm going to stream. So I streamed from like 8 o'clock. No, actually, I think it was later than that. Maybe 9 o'clock. I don't know. But I streamed for like two and a half hours. I did more No Man's Sky. And I was working on Expedition 5. And it was really starting to snowball. I got a lot of like the landmarks along the way. Just like, you know, I found that swamp planet I've been looking for. I got through like 4 rendezvous points. I'm making a lot of great progress in that expedition. I'm hoping it'll only take me 1 or 2 more streams to finish, quite honestly. There's a few grind things I have to do still. But I feel confident I'll get through Expedition 5 before it's done. With streaming, I'm hoping Alan and I can do a co-stream this week because he's finally got his whole streaming stuff set up, so I'm really excited to do that. So I don't know if we'll do No Man's Sky or we might actually do Dead by Daylight and do some 5 together, so that might be kind of fun. All right. Pod Culture says, Rob was streaming late. He was still on when I got home from work. Yeah, I was on until like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock my time, and that's really late for you.
I still want to try to survive with you guys at some point because I need to do my adepts for the two people I have points in.
Yeah, let's set a time. Let's get one more. Let's have fun. All right. Anyway, with our gaming weeks and with that, let's get into some news. We'll go right over to Loki and start off our news.
Yeah, we talked last week about a bundle through itch.io for the trans or support for the trans community in Texas because of those horrible bills. Well, now we have another bundle that's also on itch.io featuring $6,500 worth of games for $10, and it's now supporting Ukraine. So you can check that out over there. And it's going towards the charities International Medical Corp and Voices of Children. So it's I like that second one. Basically helps children cope with the horrors of war, PTSD, and readjusting to school and getting back to being kids. Lots of good stuff in there too. They have Super Hot Skatebird, Celeste. Yeah, I'll have to check it out.
One thing I
like,
one,
there's a game called Bumpy Dumpy or Dumpy Bumpy.
There's a lot of great stuff in there. I do want to point out though, it's not 1,000 games. It's still a huge value, and I'm not trying to, because it's not 1,000 video games. It's actually not even 1,000 games, because it's maybe, I think it was like something like 600 PC games, maybe 300 tabletop games, which is cool, is awesome, but you know, it's going to be different. It's not something you're going to launch from your computer. You got to print it out. But then there's also, I actually think this is cool. There's like, if you're a game maker, I noticed in there's assets that are a part of the bundle that you can use, because it was the same way. And I don't think people talk about it enough. It was the same way with that very important Black Lives Matter, racial justice and equity bundle. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the specific name of the bundle, but what they were doing on, in 2020 over at itch.io, that had a lot of that good stuff in it too, is that there was a lot of good assets and game making things in it too. That is also present in this bundle, which I thought was pretty cool. And honestly, most of these large bundles have that type of stuff in it. Obviously we love to get a lot of great games for a great value. And these, there are games you have heard of in here. I don't think that should stop anybody, even if all the games were like, I've never heard of these. You know what? There's a future winner in there, I'm sure. But there are some.
I wish I knew how to get my stuff into these. I would totally, include my stuff.
I wanted to ask, but I didn't want to get, be rude.
In the communities.
Okay.
I need to probably like be more connected to this stuff, but I don't know how to do it.
I wanted to ask, but I didn't want to be rude. Like, why isn't your game in there? But at the same time, you don't, like, nobody has the, like, you shouldn't feel forced to participate in that, because you have the right to make a profit off your time and that game that you spent your time.
Oh, that's hard work. That ship has sailed a long time ago, but it's fine.
Like, I knew in my heart totally... That's exactly what you were gonna say. But I think, to be fair, okay. But you want to?
I don't know where.
Bundles.
I don't know where. Like, I would throw my stuff in all sorts of bundles, but like, I don't know.
Okay, so Bobby's nudging that. You the right direction. It sounds like there are forums that this happens on, Bobby says they had a thread for about 2 weeks asking for people to submit. Bobby says, next time I see one, I'll ping you.
Okay.
So, all right.
I see it. Yeah, yeah. See, I don't ever go in the forums, so that's probably why I don't see any of that. So, yeah.
There will be a great cause in the future, Loki, for you to participate with. That's awesome that you want to do that. Because, again, I said, you don't have to. And I don't think anyone can hold you, you should, but that's awesome that you want to. And hey, how many more people will that get the game in front of, which can be a great thing.
Exactly.
So, yeah. All right. Also, the other thing I wanted to say on that is I thought it was really cool that itch.io seems to be filling this void that Humble Bundle used to fill. And I'm not trying to shit on Humble Bundle. I do. There's a lot that Humble Bundle has done that is great. And they have done a lot of great charity things and so forth. And to be fair, they still continue to do a lot of great charity work. But I think we all know, ever since they got bought, things haven't felt quite as organic, especially when they started doing that fuckery with the sliders that they got called out on and all that other stuff. Like, things haven't quite felt the same. So it's nice that this itch.io, and it's technically, it's not actually itch.io. It's just itch.io is the kind of the method of facilitation of this, but they don't own it. It's the community that really owns it. And that's the cool thing. These bundles and efforts to get it out there.
There's an RPG called Thirsty Sword Lesbians. I'm down for that.
Oh, that one's in the trans Texas awareness thing.
It's
right?
In the same bundle.
Oh, is it? Oh,
it's
cool.
It's in the Ukraine one too.
Oh. Honestly, there's probably a lot of overlap between the two, but that doesn't mean they're not both great causes worth your money. So, SS2100 Matt says, "I save my shit for Ziff Davis. Humble sadly has to follow by their lead," and that's it. That's exactly it. So it's neat to see that the community sort of fills that whole like gaming doing great stuff space. And like the collective power of gaming and all that good stuff.
Ooh, Figment's on there too.
Yeah, the Chrono Code, I think the game was called. It was on Game Pass not that long ago. It was great. And that's in the bundle as well. So awesome stuff. Sadly, I have to follow up with a way less awesome topic. So we go from gamers doing good to really the stuff in the gaming community that needs a lot of work still. And this has to do with a follow-up to a lawsuit that an IT security analyst at PlayStation, Emma Majo, filed in November, claiming that Sony had discriminated against women at an institutional level, claiming in the allegation she was fired because she spoke up about a gender bias at the studio, and then in the lawsuit noting she had been terminated after submitting a signed statement to management detailing sexism she experienced there. Mm. She filed the paperwork to make this a class action lawsuit. Sony last month tried to have that thrown out, saying that the allegations were too vague and could not stand up to legal scrutiny. However, 8 additional women this week joined the lawsuit against Sony. So now there are current and former employees. Only one of them has chosen to remain anonymous. So that's very brave, especially in light of what Emma Majo's initial claim had said about that she alleges she got fired right after she said about the sexism. So that is mm-hmm. very brave that the anonymous has their reasons, and we are not going to, lessen them because they are staying anonymous. They have their reasons. One plaintiff in this case has worked at Sony for 17 years and got all the way to being a senior director of program management. And in a quote, Marie Harrington said, "When I left Sony, I told the SVP and the director of HR, Rachel Godbin, in the Rancho Bernardo office that the reason I was leaving was systemic sexism against females. The director of HR simply said, I understand. She didn't ask for any more information. I had spoken with the director of HR many times before about sexism against females." Further in the statement, it reads, "Further, when two of the females were discussed, managers spent time discussing the fact that they have families. Family status was never discussed for any males." Similar stories in the remaining women's statements. Derogatory comments included, "I'm sorry, but I think it's important to hear this. You just need to marry rich." And I find that in general, women can't take criticism. Again, I'm sorry, but I feel like we need to hear that. This one's even worse. Sorry, I got one more. One plaintiff saying on a work trip at E3, I have a lot of thoughts. Sorry, my brain is like steaming here. At E3, her superior tricked her into having drinks with him at the hotel bar, hit on her even after she declined, and told other employees that he was going to try to hit that. When I see things like that, and a lot of this unfortunately goes back to E3 a lot of times.
We are not objects. Don't treat us that way.
I feel like a lot of this stuff, when I read about this stuff and like everything that happened at E3 parties and all stuff, I know we've talked a lot about how E3 kind of died many years ago. And I think what we're not saying enough is maybe it's best that it did. And I know for a lot of us, the E3 memories were very different. Like when I think of E3, and I'm sure Dark Soccer for you, I don't want to speak for you. Maybe I should just ask you what you think of with E3. But when I think of E3, I think of all those neat games we got to see in advance and getting to hang with friends and getting to network with other people like us when podcasters weren't the laughing stock of the media industry and all this stuff. I remember those fond years.
Yeah,
but I didn't go to these schmoozy parties and stuff like that. And when I hear about this type of stuff, I go like, maybe it's best E3 did. Maybe it's best there is no more E3. Because I sit here and I go, E3's never coming back. The ESA is too clueless on many levels. And then again, I hear things like this and I go, the ESA has always been clueless on so many levels.
Oh, yeah.
And
I don't think they're clueless. They just let it happen.
I think it's all of it. It's all of it. They're clueless on one front and they let it happen on another. I think both those things can be true. Jamie, I'm saying these things and I really should let you have a say. I don't know. What are your thoughts when I talk about E3 and all this stuff? And this?
Let it die. Let people who think like that die. They should not have any voice in the world. They should not exist in the world. They are relics perpetuating something that is harmful to the entirety of society. And honestly, if I had my way, I would snap my fingers and they would all... First of all, they would have to live through an entirety of what we go through in their minds and then get locked in a pit. That's what I would do.
And it's for that reason that I think, even though there's many people out there saying, I wish we could just go back to an old E3. I wish there's a part of me that's like, you know, sometimes you have to take it. It's like me moving out of my old house.
It was always
bad. Have to purge it all. You have to purge it all.
Even when we were going to E3, though, this shit was happening.
Oh, no, of course it was happening. I'm not trying to deny it wasn't happening.
Yeah.
But just
back in the days of booth babes and shit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. And I'm like, you know,
as far as the video game, you know, companies were concerned, women existed for cute games and selling games. And that's it.
And that's why I'm like, take it all out back, bury it in a hole, burn it, and then put literal shit on top of it, fertilizer, and now maybe some flowers can grow. And it's not going to be E3.
The thing is that E3, the stuff going on at E3 is a symptom. You need to actually get the people perpetuating it. They need to be taken care of.
True.
They need to be gotten rid of.
At least, thank heavens, we're starting to finally see some of that accountability. I'm not saying completely. We're seeing some of it now in this industry and people being held accountable for their actions.
Well, and are things now, you know, with bringing them out on the internet and having lawsuits, etc., it's sort of our current version of putting someone up in stocks. You know, they need to be made public examples of. They need to see that these people who are doing this will fall, will become laughing stocks. They will have the finger pointed at them and they will be in the eye for as bad as they are. And no one wants to be in that type of position. You know, peer pressure like that is a big thing. If they just either need to learn how to keep it to themselves and not tell anybody what a piece of shit they are, or, you know, try not being a piece of shit. The end.
Sorry, when you phrase it that way, I just see your face on Clippy popping up in the corner saying, have you tried not being a piece of shit?
Exactly. I'm gonna make that a thing. Have you tried not being a, you know, turd?
You know what? You have my permission to use it on merchandise and you can donate my portion to charity. All right.
I'll actually get my friend Mustefka, who did my avatar for my channel.
I'll see
if I can get him to do one of that so I can make a shirt that says, have you tried not being a piece of shit?
And please donate my portion to a lovely trans women charity because trans women are women. All right.
Trans women are women.
All right. So I just want to say, and I want to kind of wrap up this, you know, is that we're talking about Sony here and this sucks and Sony's taking a beating. It's something that's happened with Activision Blizzard, Ubisoft, Riot Games. This is an industry problem.
Oh, yeah.
It's happening everywhere. And so even though now it's this week we're talking about Sony, you know what? We got to talk about it everywhere every week because it's continuing to be a problem. And this is just an example of that.
We can't be silent about it. Silence is sort of thinking of complacency, and complacency is entropy.
So props to these women for coming out and doing what they are doing to hold Sony accountable for this and all of the marginalized individuals throughout the gaming industry that are finally realizing they're not alone and coming together to hold the industry accountable.
I'm just like, I'm tired of protesting shit that was being protested before I was born. And I'm old. Well, not super old, but you know what I mean? It's disgusting, you know? And on top of that too, and I'm gonna put this out there, your activism has to be intersectional. If you're going to stand up for women, stand up for all women, trans women, women of color, you name it. You know, because that's actually a really big problem going on in a lot of the activist communities right now, is that they're really looking at this privileged white cis female perspective when it's really our more marginalized community that is doing the brunt of the work, the hard work, and seeing very little for it. So we need to uplift each other.
Some comments in chat I'd like to read. SSJ100 Matt says, there will be a case study, docuseries, etc. about this time. It's about what the industry does after this that we'll be telling. You know, for what it's worth, you're seeing this in a lot of artistic industries in the last couple decades. Because obviously Hollywood, with the Me Too movement, has had a huge trash taking and burying out back moment.
Me Too was started by a black woman. Do not forget.
DJ Ramas in chat says, I'm legit surprised by this with Sony, given how they gave Vic Magonia, I don't even know how to say that guy's name because I just don't care about him, the heave-ho for the sexual assault accusations, which turned out to be true. Sony is a very, 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 very large company. And with that, there's a lot of people in a lot of different roles. And so you may have somebody over there that's making the right decision and somebody over here that's making the wrong decision. At the end of the day, it's the corporate policy and the HR and all that really say, you know, it comes from the top and trickles down. And I said that way back when we first heard these Activision Blizzard and the investigation, it comes from the top and the culture trickles down. And
the other thing, too, is that you also have to take into account what business culture is like in Japan. Where Fair. Women are still very Fair. Much not seen in. I honestly think that there's almost a higher level of ingrained societal misogyny than what exactly we have here. Like, it's, you know, what's the saying over there is that the bent nail gets hammered down or something. And if you speak out against something, you're going to try to get hammered down.
Yeah. So I think, Rama, it's just a particular individual made the right call and did the right thing within Sony, where unfortunately there are still many people that do the wrong thing and get away with it. So I think that was the point I was trying to make, is that you have somebody that is making the right call, thankfully, but there's still a lot of people elsewhere that are making the wrong call and getting away with it.
If I may say one more thing about that, Rob.
Of course.
Stop being surprised when you hear about misogyny. Stop being surprised when you hear about sexual harassment. Don't be surprised by it. It's every time someone says, I'm surprised to see this happening, is the thing that cements it further in my head that is the last thing on people's mind. They're not paying attention.
All right.
And I'm not saying it's calling anybody out. I'm really not doing it, but it's another
you're
symptom.
Saying, think of how your words do this. Like, think of it this way.
Yeah. I know. I'm actually literally saying stop being surprised by it. It's happening. It's everywhere. Don't be surprised by it. Just pay attention.
All right. I know it's very difficult to transition from that story, but we're going to try to do it. Let's go to our next story and try to get back into, well, I don't even know if I would call this happy news. I would just call it news, period.
Yeah.
News, lowercase n.
Yeah, Atari did a thing. They bought Moby Games for $1.5 million, which, I mean, basically Moby Games is sort of just like a game archive collection thing anyway, right? It started in 1999 as a huge database for like video game credit screenshots platform. It's basically the closest thing that exists to sort of an IMDb for video games. You know, basically, it was also a good collection of like retro and pixel art stuff too. So it's pretty neat. And it actually, this isn't the first time it's been sold. It was actually sold to Gamefly in 2010, and it was redesigned. And then it was purchased in 2013 by Jeremiah Freeholtz, who changed everything back. And then they've been running, that person plus someone named Simon Carlos has been running the site since. And then Atari basically picked it up. The Atari CEO, Wade Rosen, said the Moby Games community has played a sustained and important role in the documentation, celebration, and preservation of video games. And supporting Moby Games allows us to give back to the community and contribute to its growth and success. It's important to Atari that Moby Games retains every bit of its integrity, and we're committed to supporting the site in ways that improve the experience for both contributors and users. So they also are saying that Freyholtz will remain as the general manager. So maybe it is just for support. Who knows?
I remember this was rumored a few months ago. It's interesting it took this long for, because the rumor feels like it was at the end of last year at this point. I mean, what is time anymore in these day and age? But I remember we had talked about this when it was a rumor, and because it came up as like, well, what the hell is Atari going to do with this site? But we still, I mean, now that it's official and we have a statement from the CEO and all this stuff, you know, I feel like I still don't understand what they plan to do with it. Because they're sure trying to make it sound like we're going to try to keep it the same, which is good because based on Moby Games past, you know, they had all the issues when they tried to change it. It kind of went back to the way it was. So I don't know if it's just an asset thing for Atari or what they might ultimately plan to do with it. If maybe Atari, see, I think it would be rad if Atari would leverage a lot of that for some of its retro collections and retro devices. Like, hey, we're releasing this retro collection and it's all of this informative shit about these old games too. And like all the stuff that's built within Moby Games. So, yeah. Bobby's correcting me saying it was an intention announced before and not a rumor. Okay, well, sorry, my brain can't go back like 4 or 5 months. But it just took this long or whatever to finally go through. So. ZenMonkey11 says they're going to make a site to play their old games on it and get history of old stuff. SG100 Matt says full integration into their UI for a streaming game service. Oh, I do remember kind of having a thought about, wouldn't it be interesting if you go to Moby Games, you look up a article on Yar's Revenge, and thanks to technology such as AntStream or whatever Atari might have, you can play the game right there in your browser. I mean, yeah. It's not very difficult to emulate an Atari 2600 in your browser. It's all just the legal questions of that. And Atari would have the legal grounds to do that. So that could be interesting.
Could be.
Yeah. We'll see what they ultimately do with it. All right. Now some news that actually is really good, right? Loki, Legos. Legos are fun, right?
Legos are fun. It's funny. I went to Moby Games to check on my page that I had submitted with all the wonderful artwork and everything, and they overwrote it with all the stuff that was on the Steam page. So it erased all my detailed information that I put in there and new screenshots and all that stuff. Thanks, Moby Games. Appreciate it.
Love that the creator themselves is trying to give some insight, and it's like, nope, nope.
It was because I remember I did this a while ago and I had to set it up and everything and I added it and then it overwritten everything. It's fine. Whatever. Who cares? Anyways, so let's talk Legos. So you may obviously be familiar with Lego Super Mario. And of course, there was Lego Luigi that came out. I think that was last year. Well, now this year, this August, we have Lego Princess Peach. She is going to be getting her own set of Lego Mario sets. So she's getting her castle. They have even like a Cat Peach outfit they can get. And a bunch of other stuff. It looks really awesome. And that's going to be coming out in August. They also kind of expanded with the Lego Luigi stuff with Lego Luigi's Mansion thing. So they have those now. I stopped buying these sets because we have too many of them. My son does not play with them. Nor will he put them together, and I just have no room for them. So, unfortunately, I have not continued with the Lego Mario saga. We had almost all the sets at one point, but yeah, I just can't. But it looks cool. She looks weird, but it looks cool. I mean, I guess she looks equally as weird as all the other Lego characters there in the Lego Mario stuff, but she just has like a weird like face. I don't know, the face is weird, but it'll still be pretty cool.
I feel like a horrible gaming and Lego and nerd stuff fan that I don't have a single one of these sets. But, you know, and then I see this and I'm like, God damn it, I need to get them all. I want to get them all. And then it's like getting them all is going to be way too expensive.
You'll have
to take a second mortgage on the house you just bought.
You wouldn't have to take a second mortgage. So the thing is, they set this up to be like kind of like a game. So you're supposed to be able to like kind of play with it and like do the scans and stuff. But the game is not very fun. That's the only problem, is it's not very fun to play. You kind of just like pretend to hop it around and stuff.
It's neat, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's fun.
And there's like no challenge to it or anything. There's no anything. And so the sets don't really always make, you know, the best display sets, unfortunately. But some of it's pretty cool looking. At the very least, you know, even like the little, they kind of like the blind bags that they sell for the stuff. They're on their third series now with those. And you can get a bunch of the, you know, the enemies in there and stuff. So we have a ton of those too. Like, so many. But yeah, I mean, they're kind of cool sets. I don't know. I just, like I said, don't have room in the house for any more of those. But apparently it's been successful. I mean, they've had like three or four different like releases or additional, like, I mean, there's so many sets now in the series, so it's obviously profitable for them. The thing that I really dislike the most though about the sets is all of the instructions are in their app, and that sucks because their app drains my phone's battery a lot. And then also, like, if my son wants to put it together, I have to download the app onto his device. And then he has to be able to do it that way. And you have to like scan the figures in like certain figures that come with each set in order to unlock it in the app. So they won't even give you the instructions without having that. And it's just a pain in the butt. Like, just give me a paper instruction book, please.
Yeah, I think they're trying to prevent the paper instruction books from showing up on the internet. But at the same time,
they're like, on their site. They're all on the internet anyway. Their site. I can literally go to their site and view any instruction book for any set that they've ever made.
Say, surely everything is on YouTube. Anything you need to know how to do, it's on YouTube. You need to fix a tire, fix something in your car, fix something that broke around the house, fix an electric appliance. It's on YouTube. Somebody's doing it. Surely every Lego set in existence has multiple people that have done a YouTube on how to do it.
The thing is, I think what they're trying to do with like the app and having that all there is they show you how to play with it, I guess. They show you like what different things do. And so I think there's a little bit of explanation there, but it'd be nice just to have like the instructions separately, because it's not really that hard to put some of these things together. It's just annoying, like, especially with my old phone, like it used to just eat the battery like immediately because it's trying to constantly communicate via Bluetooth with these devices, and it just was not battery friendly. But I don't know, they're okay sets. Like, it's just, I'm just not buying any of them. Like, they have a giant airship that I keep seeing at the store, and I always go look at that stuff every time I'm in like Target and stuff, and I just have no room for it.
All right. Well, let's move on and talk about something that you won't be getting anytime soon. We alluded to it a little earlier in the show because it showed up during the PlayStation State of Play event. However, Forspoken, with its new trailer, also got an announcement.
That game was so good.
Yeah, it does look really good, but you're going to be waiting a little while longer to play it, which, I mean, is it really bad news? It just means that they're going to make the
I'd
game
rather
that
wait
much
and
better.
Have it be good.
Yeah, exactly. Wait and make
and
sure
maybe
it's
actually
finished.
Have a PS5 by then.
That is true, too, to be honest. So, like, personally, I'm not bothered by this whatsoever, but I know there's a lot of people that are definitely, you know, even though I am very much delay the game, make it perfect, make it a great game when it releases, I completely understand there are always going to be people that are like, oh, but I was looking forward to that. Okay, have your moment. Eat your Haagen-Dazs. Let the moment pass, and we'll all get over it together and enjoy the game when it comes out. And remember, this is, you know, I could use the good old Miyamoto quote, the bad game's a bad game for, yeah, sure. We all know that one by now. How about this now? A delay was the best thing that could possibly happen to Animal Crossing on the Switch. In the worst possible way, but a delay was the best possible thing that could ever happen to Animal Crossing for all of us. So, something to think about. Anyway, Forspoken, originally set to release on May 24th, it will now release on October 11th. Of course, they don't give a lot of specifics why, just saying, during the next few months, we will focus all of our efforts on polishing the game and can't wait for you to experience Frey's journey this fall. You know what that says to me? There were bugs. There was a lack of polish, something that they found that just wasn't acceptable, and they are taking the time to fix it rather than shove it out the door, to which I say, good news. And yes, it gives us all more time to actually get our hands on PS5s, which is a whole other challenge of itself. So there you go. But for those that are sad about it, you're allowed your moment. Take your moment, throw your fit, and then we'll all get over it. It will pass. All right.
Mm-hmm.
interesting. Mike Deft in chat says, you can buy PlayStation 5s, both versions, right now on Amazon Mexico. I think it is getting easier. But you still kind of have to be there right when they go on sale. But it's getting a little easier every day. All right.
But I want it now.
I know. All right. This is something I want right now. Which technically I could already get on an old machine, but I think this is cool, right, Dark Sakura?
Oh, yeah. So you can get some of the classic D&D Gold Box games are coming onto Steam, although I think a few of them have already been there under different packs. But we're talking about things like the Gold Box classics that have the Forgotten Realms collections, like Eye of the Beholder and Pool of Radiance, which I had the big ass box for Pool of Radiance back in the day that came with like the second edition book and everything. I wish I knew what happened to my book. I think I loaned it to somebody. Anyway, Savage Frontier had a Dungeon Hack and Menza Baranzen. I always say that wrong. The one that makes me happy is that there's Dragonlance stuff in there. I am a big Dragonlance fan. I have read all the books until they got kind of bad. There's also some Dark Sun, some Ravenloft. Al-Qadim is in there. The D&D Stronghold Kingdom Simulator. And the things that it does not have is Dragonstrike, Spelljammer, and the other ones that don't fit into the Gold Box format. And also, these aren't remasters. These are the original low-res, same little games. Yeah. So nothing really has been done to them, but they're the games. So if you want to get them, there you go.
I'm not sure they've necessarily aged gracefully, but they're a part of gaming history. And I'm always for keeping gaming history accessible and easily, you know, so we can show these little kids today. Back in my day, this is how we did Dungeons and Dragons on a PC. So I think it's great that it's, you know, at least accessible on modern PCs to a whole new generation.
I'm still like, you know, I see people talking about like 5th edition and everything now, and I'm like, do you even know what Thaco is?
Did these games have Thaco? I'm trying to, I guess, around the right time. So, all right. Questbuster in chat says, easily SSI's golden age of CRPG goodness. That AD&D license was so huge for them. Yeah, I remember these games really were huge. You know, I've talked a lot about my formative years with Commodore 64 gaming. I was probably just a little bit young for these games and I missed them, but I did get into Ultima though, which I was also probably too young for, but I still was into it, which isn't technically D&D, but you know, role-playing games on old PCs. But I think it's great that it's coming back. So all right, moving on, I think we're back over to Loki.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about we haven't mentioned Activision Blizzard in a while. What are they up to?
Well, because we banned, I had two stories I could have talked about tonight. There was one about Warcraft, one about Overwatch. You may recall, they have been banned from the show until Bobby Kotick is gone.
Yeah, so now they're being investigated by the SEC. There's two separate investigations going on. Whether to that some of the higher ups were doing some inside trading. So apparently there's been some special, some specific sales that they've been doing that, you know, they kind of knew that the Activision stock thing was going to be, or maybe the buyout was going to happen. But says apparently Barry Diller is the the one of the people that they're targeting right now. He served along with Bobby Kotick on the board of Coca-Cola. And then what else? Also, apparently the Justice Department is investigating whether there's any of the options traded violated insider trading laws. They're also separately conducting a civil insider trading investigation as well, because apparently the three of the men purchased $108 million in Activision Blizzard shares only days before the Microsoft sale was announced. And then now they're obviously worth $60 million more. So it's like they got tipped off that the sale was going to happen and then made those purchases. So, yeah, I think that they probably are. The three also, so we had the Barry Diller that I mentioned. There's Alexander von Furstenberg and David Geffen. So.
I know that name.
Yeah, yeah, isn't that from the record company?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but they're all friends with Bobby Kotick or some people at Activision. And Diller said, you know, it was just simply a lucky bet. We acted upon no information. Sure you did.
Bullshit.
Sure you did. Because Activision was a good buy with all of the allegations going on and everything.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Shit.
I can't say what I want to say because it's against Twitch terms of service, even if it's hyperbole. Hey, you know, I talked about I hosted a John Waters thing last night. Have you guys ever seen Pink Flamingos? You guys ever seen that movie, Pink Flamingos? I just want to reflect on that movie for a minute because there's this great scene. Let's just talk about that movie for a minute because there's this great scene in that movie where Divine, she's giving a monologue and she gets up there and she says, "Kill everyone now. Condone first degree murder. Advocate for cannibalism." And she's going on and on and on. I don't know why, but just like, I think it's the impact of that show last night. I just have that scene playing in my mind right now for some weird reason. Anyway, completely unrelated.
Rest in peace,
Divine. Completely unrelated. But I just, for some reason, I guess I'm just stuck on that show.
Oh, Rob.
I don't know. It's weird.
It is weird how the brain works. Anyway, back to the story itself. There's nothing to say. Like, here we are doing our little podcast. There's nothing left to say.
Of course they're going
to
say it's a coincidence. Oh, you caught me. I did some of that insider trading. Yeah, conveniently that they made $60 million in a couple days. Very convenient. It was just lucky.
Didn't Martha Stewart go to jail for insider trading? Wasn't that why she went to jail?
She did. Now she's BFFs with Snoop Dogg. Yeah.
That's right. Well,
Martha Stewart's kind of rad. Like, actually, Martha Stewart's pretty rad. Interesting. She went to jail. So she went to jail.
Yeah. I know. Makes you think, huh?
Moving on. Let's talk about Gamescom. Gamescom. You know, we had a story last week about Tokyo
Game
Show.
Instead of the game.com.
Yes, not the game.com, but the actual event. I almost want to say similar to E3, but in Europe. But after tonight's discussion, I don't want to say that. So I will just say a big trade expo that happens in Europe, specifically Germany. It is going to be back in person this year. It will be running from the 24th through the 28th of August. Of course, there precautions is how we get back to having these sorts of events. So there will be safety measures in place. For the usual crowds, there's going to be a limited ticket allocation. What they're saying is better entrance management. Not sure what that will be. Digital queues and extra wide aisles in halls. So honestly, it sounds all like things that shows could have benefited from years ago. But okay, we'll take it. Gamescom has been digital only. The last time it was in person, 370,000 gamers in 2019. I should say, because I was saying it's a game show, it's a trade show, this is open to the public. This is an event that's open to the public. The other show spoken about on this show earlier tonight, it was towards the end because it was on life support and they were trying to save it. but historically was not open to the public. Anyhow, also something else they're talking about with this announcement, Gamescom goes green, where the company is aiming to be climate neutral, talking about a reduction and avoidance of CO2 emissions and short-term issues through carbon offsetting. A random thing to throw in there without specifics, but okay, sure, keeping climate responsibility in mind is a good thing, so I can't complain about that. For the rest of us that do not plan to go to this show, because that's a bit too far to travel, or whatever reason you have, Gamescom's opening night live will be back, and assumably that means Jeff Keighley as well, although we don't have the details and the date and all that stuff just yet, but I'm sure we will get all that in the not too distant future. So, forward to it. All right. I think what we will do now is take a moment to reflect on a simpler time in a segment that we like to do here every week, and I'll roll the bumper for it.
And now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
And Dark Sakura, what did you pick for the classic game of the week this week?
I picked Carnival. Carnival is, it may not be the most exciting game, but I was seriously trying to think of, like, I was actually sort of in a ColecoVision nostalgia mood. And so I picked a game that we used to play a lot when I was a kid. Which, of course, was Carnival. And I had never played it in the arcade at the time. We just had it on ColecoVision. It was a fixed shooter developed by a company called Gremlin and released by Sega in arcades in 1980. It was one of the first video games that had a bonus round. It was ported to Atari 2600, ColecoVision, and Intellivision by Coleco. There's a licensed Atari 8-bit family version that was published in 1982 by Analog Software, which was a commercial software label for Analog Computing Magazine. Acornsoft also did a copy in 1983 for the BBC Micro. So the goal of the game, you have limited ammo. You have to last and shoot things as long as you can. So you basically just have to aim and shoot. And sometimes you can get things that give you, like, bonus bullets. But you have three rows of targets, and then you also have a circle in the center that's got, like, a pipe wheel on, and you shoot the pipes off. Now, you also, for your different targets, you have rabbits, ducks, owls, the extra bullet targets. And, of course, if you hit something on the higher row, it's worth more points. If a duck reaches the bottom row without being shot, it's going to come fly at you. It's like, come at me, bro. I'll shoot you. You duck. Anyway, you also have pop-up targets above the top row that can either give you awards or can actually take bullets or points when you hit it, so you have to be careful. And that pipe wheel has eight pipes that are in the top one. Each of the points of the value decreases for every shot that does not hit one of them. So your bonus counter increases in value with every target shot in the three rows. And you can collect it by shooting the letters of the word bonus in order as they cycle through those rows. It stops increasing anytime you hit any letter out of order. So the round will end when all the targets or the pipes have been shot. You get your bonus points for unused bullets, and then you play a bonus round with a large bear that goes back and forth. Each time the bear is shot, it rears up and goes the other way, so you have to shoot that bear as many times as possible until it escapes off of the screen with your limited ammo. After that, then you get the next wave, and every bonus round adds another bear to the screen up to a maximum of four. So, you know, of course, the higher levels give you higher point values, more ducks, fewer extra bullets, faster moving targets. and the increased rate of ducks that come on. And the game will be over when you have exhausted your ammunition supply or you've been eaten by ducks. How many games do you know where you get eaten by ducks? Just saying. So it's one of those few games that has two different PCBs. There's two different versions. So normally a game has one PCB with dip switch sets that either switch it to upright or cocktail. And with this one, it had the upright and cocktail cabinets had those two varieties, one in wood grain and the other painted orange and white. The tune that plays is, I hope I don't mispronounce this, Sobre las Olas by Juventito Rosas. It's the song you hear at carnivals. Dun, 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 dun. That one, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And the chip, though, that it used was a General Instrument AY38910 chip. So it was actually fairly complex when it allowed for a complex rendition of that waltz at the time, and it allowed for the overlaid sound effects. So it was fairly nice for 1980. The ColecoVision port was basically considered to be perfect, like a perfect rendition. And I did find a lot of times that ColecoVision games were pretty spot on, maybe not perfect, you know, and the things that they did when they would do a port would help replace the things that you would have otherwise missed. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So
sure.
Like for Space Fury, instead of having like the weird robot voice, it actually sang kind of like in the background. It was kind of neat. But anyway, in a discussion of the arcade games music, is that, in fact, there's a quote by a video game scholar on here. This is, and I'm going to quote, as the track makes use of all three tone channels, using two for the waltz characteristic, pa, you know, thing, and one for the melody, the resulting texture is rich enough to do the music justice. And the inclusion of numerous sound effects, including three different duck quacks and a bear roar, makes for a veritable sonic feast. Again, 1980. But it's pretty much, you know, a testament. This game is still a challenge. I have this game still. I have two ColecoVisions. And this is, to this day, one of my favorite games for the ColecoVision. One thing that I will say about it, though, is that on the ColecoVision version, I don't know if it did in the arcade, because like I said, I hadn't played the arcade one, is that the music would just stop, and then you'd be playing in silence the little sound effects. So that was like my one
complaint. We'll just sit here in silence and think about what we've done. All these poor ducks we're shooting.
Poor ducks in my ass. They're trying to eat you. Like, you see, though, in the sample here, like, trying to hit the bonus. That shit was hard. That shit was hard, and the ducks are assholes.
Well, and also, and we used know, to you think about that mechanic where, like, you know, and I'm sorry for the podcast listeners, but you can see it kind of flashing on the screen, the minus bullets and stuff. So, like, if you don't connect with a target on the side and your bullet goes all the way to the top, you actually are going to get a huge penalty for that. So you really have to, like, you can't
when you're
just
shooting
shoot
the
like
pipes.
Crazy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's a
oh,
neat
yeah.
mechanic.
And this person on this particular example, I don't know whether they were trying to hit the pipe from the other side, because the pipes were easier to hit when they were coming down. But anyway, it's just one of those fun little games. Like, I would put it up as one of my favorite ColecoVision games. And the only two games that I would probably put above that would be, I don't know, I guess maybe it's like my number five favorite ColecoVision, because I put Gorf as number one, followed by Venture. After that would be Space Fury. Actually, I take that back. Mousetrap would be above Space Fury, then Space Fury, and then Carnival.
I love Space Fury.
Space Fury is so good. I mean, it's really just like Asteroids plus, You know?
I remember this game, and I wasn't even a Coleco for. There must have been a version on Commodore 64 at some point, because I remember playing this. Or maybe I played it in the arcade, honestly. See. I probably played it in the arcade.
Well, I mean, but they were also doing all those different ports, unofficial ports for Commodore 64.
That's probably what I played. I probably just played a knockoff. But still.
No, there was a game called World Cup Carnival, but maybe. Not an official release of Carnival.
Well, a great pick.
There was a Muppet at the carnival.
Was there really? That's kind of fun. All right. Well, there it is, your classic game of the week, Carnival, which, I don't know what else to say about it. It's something that I played and I enjoyed. It is simple. It maybe hasn't aged well in the graphics and all that department, but I think a classic game doesn't need to be. Yeah, it is challenging.
It has a decent challenge to it.
There's interesting mechanics in it for what it is. Like a silly emulation of a carnival game. The pipe mechanic, unique. The rotating bonus or penalty, unique. It has these interesting
really
spins
have
on it.
Yeah. Target shooting games like that anymore.
No. Well, you want to talk about a real classic I miss, Point Blank. That was like the
apex
of racing games.
That game is so awesome.
But Point Blank is a bunch of shooting mini games.
I know, and I love it.
I guess. So.
This one, well, I mean, we still have the gun cons, so for our PlayStation.
I want a VR Point Blank.
Shout out if he's still in chat, because YYR did make that sharpshooter game that is very, was inspired by that Point Blank stuff. So I should, someone's still making them, but yeah, for the most part.
Oh, God, I would kill for a Point Blank VR game.
For sure. All right. Thank you for the pick and the walk down memory lane. Good.
Carnival's definitely it, and I actually who knows, maybe I'll bust out the ColecoVision and try to get it set up right.
Oh, good. YYR is present to hear the shout out. Fantastic. Thank you. And check it out on Steam. Sharpshooter Plus, excuse me. I forgot the plus. YYR in chat says the only bummer regarding VR shooting games is how would you play two players? Well, I mean, you could play other
through the
VR
power games. Of the metaverse.
Yeah, the internet. Shut up. All right. The internet. It would have to be an internet thing.
Oh, you.
All right. Let's move on around the internet and talk about some other rapid fire news around the industry. And Loki, we'll start with you. Don't make me more upset.
So,
good news only.
Super Nintendo World is opening next year in Hollywood.
Great news. I'll take it.
I mean,
how much
so
is it
going
to cost me? That's the bad news.
It'll cost you admission to Universal Studios Hollywood.
Which is probably going to double next year.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see. So,
I like Universal Studios Hollywood. We talk a lot about Disneyland here on this show. And yes, Disney has a lot of great stuff. I like Universal Studios. I think I realize some people do not like their rides as much. I like what they do with the rides. I think they're really immersive
I've
and
never
really
been.
Fun. Really?
Yeah,
I've been a long time.
We should all go. Would you want to go Dark Sakura? I mean, if it's like, I don't go because I don't want to go.
I would want to go. It's just, I'm basically using my vacation time for my Disneyland trip.
Gotcha.
Also, it might be adverse to a certain world that
I
is
know.
Also adjacent
I
to.
I hate it because obviously I cannot stand her. And that's all I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. Her, period. But actually, no, I shouldn't say it because her, the musician, is fantastic. But we all know that is not who I'm talking about. And yes, she has that little wizard place at the park. Here's the problem. That actually is a fantastic environment. Before she got a Twitter account, that was a fantastic environment. And the ride is astronomically fun. And the butterbeer is fantastic. And I feel like nothing she says or does can take that away. But I am well aware that it is when she continues to make even one penny off of that and use that voice to do what she does, it makes us all a little bit skittish. And I get it. But it sucks because otherwise,
Harry Potter
Universal's kinda, done with it is fantastic.
Can Harry Potter kind of continue on in the equivalent of how the Connors continued on after that whole thing. Like, it's...
Oh my god, brilliant. Brilliant!
I mean...
Yes! Can't we just get the Connors version of that park? Brilliant!
Exactly.
My god, I love it. Harry Hotter.
And in other news, God of War is rumored to be getting a TV series adaptation. Sure, why not? All of them are, so, you know, it makes sense. You know, it's funny in this that we're in this timeline now where there's actually good adaptations of gaming things. Who would have thought that, I guess, eventually that they would have to do it right at some point. We're still waiting for, like, well, maybe mixed feelings on the Uncharted one, but, you know, Sonic the Hedgehog is great. Pokemon was great. You know, TV series wise, I'm sure The Last of Us is going to be pretty amazing. I really want to see the
permanent tears.
I want to see Fallout. That'd be good. And then Bioshock, the show. Oh, yes, please.
We're just getting so, like, we are getting these video game shows delivered. And I mean, obviously, we have The Witcher, I think, is a huge part to thank for that.
Oh, yeah, The Witcher, absolutely.
The anime stuff, too, like Castlevania ending up, you know, being, yeah.
And then, what was it, Arcane? I haven't seen it yet, but I've only heard, like, amazing things about it, so, you know.
Oh, yeah, Tiger Claw in chat says, let's not forget Mass Effect. Let's not, because it's great that that's back on the agenda, too, because I remember they were going to do a movie, and I guess they decided a TV show works better, which is the right decision,
I like
I think.
The animated thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
they
yeah.
did that had Vega.
Yeah, like the side story, yeah.
It was really good.
So apparently this is in talks with Amazon Studios, and it's been, apparently the rumor is that Mark Fergus and Hocht Ospi, they're known for The Expanse and Children of Men, are involved in the project. Otherwise, we don't really know more details about it yet, but maybe we'll hear something if it becomes a thing.
I remember seeing that Children of Men movie. That was Julia Moore was in that. That was a dark movie. Okay, wow. Right.
It'll be Boys.
That's the one I'm thinking of.
They'll put this next to The Boys, and it'll be Boy, you know, Boy and The Boys. It works.
Do what you do. All right. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us in rapid fire news?
Well, remember before I was talking about the Tokimeki Memorial translation? Well, it's out now. It is a patch for Tokimeki Memorial Under the Tree of Legends. Which is the PC Engine version. It has the intro in there, along with the English lyrics to sing along and the ending song. The confession scenes are voiced, and it's ready to go. So, of course, it does have some limitations, but it's available. You can go find the translation patch at... translated.games/SNES/heartthrob. And then in other news, one of my favorite games, Kix, which is basically where you have to trap some lines in a box, a Taito game. It actually is being added to the arcade archives. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's
where's my arcade?
Games.
Where's my arcade archives for Gal's Panic?
Everybody,
I mean, it's the same.
Kind of,
that's a different game.
You're thinking of Miss.
We need arcade archives for that game too.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you know, might have to send some cards and letters and angry tweets to get what you need.
I guess.
But
yeah.
Kix is pretty awesome. I'm with Dark Soccer. It's a arcade classic.
It really is.
Well, it's funny you bring up those particular games because those games are Kix, basically. Like Miss News World 96 or whatever.
Kix clones.
It's Kix. They're all Kix clones. So okay, maybe you had a layered joke there that went over my head at first. But that is, I mean, Kix is really the reason for all that other stuff. So, all right. Let's travel around the world and check out some games we'll be playing a lot sooner. Then Arcade Archives, Miss Nude World 96. Let's go to the U.S. first.
We've got The Cruel King and The Great Hero on Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4. Dawn of the Monsters on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. Wow, you know, I didn't think that this would happen, but we're getting new Grand Theft Auto games. Grand Theft Auto Online, which I think is now its own separate thing as well. That's coming out for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. And then Grand Theft Auto 5, the brand new game from Rockstar, not a game that's been out for almost, I think it can be a classic game of the week at this point. That is on PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X this week as well. Phantom Breaker, Omnia, I guess that's what it is. That's on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Oh, a game I've been waiting for a while, actually. Tunic, that's coming out on PC Mac and Xbox One and Xbox Series.
Yay.
We have Anno Mutanium. That's on PC, PlayStation 4, and PlayStation 5. I guess this is a close to my, you know, want for a Gal's Panic game, but we have Galgun Double Piece is coming to Nintendo Switch. Persona 4 Arena Ultimax on PC, Nintendo Switch, and PlayStation 4. Shredders, not the Ninja Turtles thing, but it's a snowboarding game. That's on PC and Xbox Series. Strangers of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origin. Ooh boy, it's out this week on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. And last but not least, Siberia, The World Before, that's on PC.
All right, let's go to Japan and check out the releases there. On the Nintendo Switch this week, on March 17th, it might be St. Patrick's Day over here, but in Japan, they get released. Galgun Double Piece is also out in Japan. Persona 4 Arena Ultimax is also out. A game called Senran Ninja Taisen Neptune Shoujo Taichi no Kayuen is out. It's from Compile Heart, and I'm trying to figure out what it is. It looks like it's a Neptunia and Senran Kagura crossover. So it's those two series. It's one RPG with both those kind of like worlds in them. It's kind of neat. I think some people will be into that. Let's see what else on the Switch. I guess that's it for the Switch. So let me check the PlayStation 5. Yeah, I was pretty sure I'd see Stranger of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origin, also out in Japan this week. You know, at first I didn't think I really wanted to play that game, but the more I hear about it and the more people are kind of reacting to the demo and stuff, I'm like, I might have to try it. Like, I just drop $60 on it, you know?
Is it like a beat 'em up game? Like, what is it?
They're saying it's like a
Team Ninja.
Yeah, it's like a Souls-esque type
really?
Of game.
Really? Yeah. It's Team Ninja doing the Soul.
Yeah, I know. Well, not literally. Like, you know, everything is, yeah. So I wanna try the demo at some point. But except they won't put it on Xbox for whatever reason. But I'll have to watch live streams or something to truly get a sense if I really want it. Here's the thing. I didn't talk about this during my gaming week because I didn't actually play the game, but I need a moment before we get to our next segment. And sorry, the UK dates. I just need one moment to talk about Chocobo GP because that came out on the Switch and I downloaded Loki's face palming already. Oh, sweet. Rama says the demo is out on Xbox. Oh, I didn't see it in the app. Okay, I'll grab it, Rama. Yay. Thank you for the heads up. But Chocobo GP. Apparently, from what I am understanding, most people that did the early reviews of the game did not know the extent of which there is like premium currency and gacha mechanics in the game, because I guess they didn't really unlock all of that until the game was released. And I'm sorry, but that is fucking dirty. That's just straight up dirty to hide that stuff. And again, I don't have a full sense of it, so if I'm wrong, I'm sorry. But what I'm not sorry about is it sounds like you pay $40 to get this game. Yes, there's a free version, but the free version has barely anything in it. You pay $40 to get this game, and then there's a whole gacha mechanic on top of that with unlocks and stuff. Oh, but you can do the pay currency if you want to get things faster. Bobby was calling it Genshin Impact on his show, except you're paying $40 to get into it. And that's something about that really bugs me. With as much as I was looking forward to Chocobo GP, now Grant, I haven't played it myself yet. I probably will. I might even drop the $40, but I'm a little nervous too now. I'm like, I feel like this game any day now is going to drop to $20. But then, of course, there's the whole, well, if you buy it now, you get the store unlocked for free. That is, by the way, that is literally a thing. You get the store for free.
I have to pay for the store? How do I pay for a store if there's no store to sell me the store?
With in-game currency. So just marinate on that for a bit. So, like, I don't know. I was going to say, I don't know who told Square Enix this was a good idea. I do know who money told them it was a good idea. The same people who said, the same people who convinced, you know, the head of Square Enix that NFTs were a good idea. These are the people that are saying it's a good idea. It is not a good idea. Just charge 60 from the game for the game if you feel the need to, and just put everything in it. For the love of God, just put everything in it. So anyway, sorry.
Just wait for the special edition to come out later on with everything in it.
Sorry, I wanted to get to the UK dates, but like that was bugging me. And that's why I'm nervous to take the risk on, I mean, a Square Enix game, let alone almost any game at this point. Sure, I'll pay $60 for Strangers of Paradise. Then what? Anyway, Dark Sakura, what's coming out in the UK?
Well, the place I normally get my stuff from is down, but at any rate, there's only one game, and that's Core Keeper for PC on the 8th of March.
Righty.
Wait, it's already past that date, so never mind, it's out.
I think Stranger's Paradise also in Europe. I'm pretty sure it's a worldwide release.
Yes, it is.
If your site,
well, like I said, yeah. None of them were working, so.
All right, well, it happens. So let's move on. More gaming companies getting involved in world issues, but this is one that people need to bring more awareness to. So Loki, what do you?
Yeah, so EA and Gearbox have signed an open letter opposing the anti-trans bill in Texas, because that's a horrible thing that's going on right now on top of everything else. So they have this thing that ran in the Dallas Morning News, basically saying discrimination is bad for business and calling for the governor to abandon the anti-LGBTQ plus efforts that they're doing. Which they won't, but you know. It was signed by EA, Microsoft, Gearbox, and I think those are the only companies that they mention right now. Mm. So,
thank you to the companies for doing it. It would be more meaningful if you would move your businesses to other states, but I understand that is something that's easy for me to say. That would impact a lot of lives that is not easy to do. And I am very careful to choose my words, because I have a lot of friends that live in Texas that want nothing to do with this bill. And I don't think it's fair to tell somebody you should just move because your state sucks. I don't want to run away from problems. I want to fix them. So I just hope my friends that are in Texas use their voices against this fuckery that's going on.
So other companies that were signed on with that as well. Apple, we have Meta, PayPal, Pinterest,
a broken
Yahoo.
Broken clock right twice a day in Meta's case.
Yeah, Patreon, IKEA, Ben and Jerry's. Lots of companies.
But the governor will not do Google shit until the money starts talking. And that's what you see happening in Florida.
Can we sanction them like we're sanctioning Russia?
But again,
can we do that?
It's complicated, Loki. Here's the thing with Florida and that whole thing, which they are two very different things, but they are both attacks on the LGBTQIA plus community. Is that you notice?
Can we trade Florida for Ukraine?
Shut up and let me make my point. Is that you see Disney? You know, they had their first response, and it was really the employees of Disney who rose up and said, hey, CEO, you represent
say
us,
something.
And your answer wasn't good enough. And they weren't afraid, even though to go to your CEO and say, hey, do better, is not an easy thing to do. They did it. And you know what that CEO did? And I will, you know, I know a lot of times we want to say it's not enough. Da, da, da. You know what? If we want, opinions are not going to change overnight. I will appreciate that the CEO of Disney at least acknowledged, said, maybe I didn't do enough. And I'm sorry. And I'm listening to my employees. To me, that's a step in the right direction. We just need a lot more steps from many people to get us to where we need to be, because clearly there is still anti-LGBTQIA+ people in this country that keep trying to push these ridiculous things. And again, I'm going to explain to you why the Florida bill is bad, because everybody that supports it is like, where in the bill does it say don't say gay? You're missing the fucking point. Where in the bill does it say heterosexual? Because that is the context of the bill, if you think about it. It doesn't say you're not allowed to talk about heterosexual stories and all that sort of thing, and you know, and that whole thing. So, again, do you believe that the relationship between Alan and I and our cat, Mr. Smush, do you believe that a kindergartner shouldn't hear about that? Is there something bad about that?
Anyone who thinks that there's something bad about that has something wrong with them.
And it's just that's where it just kind of personally hurts, you know, a little bit. And I know none of my friends feel this way, and I know the vast majority of people who listen to this show. But I also know there's a few of you, that put up with our political tirades for the gaming news. And you know what? I do appreciate that you hang in there and listen to people that think differently than you. I do appreciate that. But I just want to tell you why it hurts and why it's much more than this whole argument of where in the bill does it say you can't say gay. You all know damn well what it means. You all know damn well what it means. Don't fucking try to mind game someone who's personally affected by it. It won't work, because they've been playing mind games with me from the very first day. And you know what I mean by that? I'm going to say something that a lot of people are not going to like, but I'm saying it anyway, because I know from experience. Is this bill going to get 7-year-olds to stop calling each other a faggot on the playground? Because I guarantee you it won't. Because it happened to me a lot. And I bet it happened to many of you a lot. And you know where they learned that word? They didn't learn. I mean, some of them learned it at school. They didn't learn it in a classroom. So I just want you to think about that for a minute. So I don't understand why. I'm getting too preachy, but yeah, thank you, Mike Depp, who says, "Drop, really preach." I just want you to understand how I personally feel affected by that. Now, for my trans brothers and sisters, now we have this whole thing in Texas that's going on, and I don't even have words. Where does the state think they can get between a doctor and a patient and a family? Who the fuck do they think they are? It's infuriating. Going to chat. SSGO and Hunter Matt says, "My girlfriend is a school teacher who teaches ELA, English and Language Arts. She has a classroom library that includes books and graphic novels that include positive and appropriate LGBT plus stories that her kids are welcome to read on their own. By this law, she would be fired or sued for this. Over the years, she has had kids come out to her, asked her to refer to them as a different pronoun, or asked her for more info about LGBTQ plus. Kids should have a safe space."
Indeed.
I can't tell you how meaningful drag queen story time would have been to me at that age. But instead,
I've participated in it. Just to see the look on people's faces is amazing. I did it as a sister.
But instead, you know what I got? I got invited to play Smear the Queer. And again, I'm sorry. I'm sure Bobby's wincing because I'm using language that's against Twitch's terms of service. But I am allowed to say those words, and I'm saying them to make a fucking point. And if you don't like those words, maybe we should stop saying them. Because I heard them a lot when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Anyhow. All right. Thanks, Bobby. Thank you for your support. I know you support me at the end of the day, Bobby. But I'm sure there's a little piece of you that's like, all right. Anyhow, but thank you. All right, moving on. Please, a happy place. Tell me about a very good game. Somebody, Dark Sakura.
Is it me?
Yeah, I think so.
So they did an update for Chrono Trigger on PC that now supports ultra-wide monitors. Squinix updated the Steam version. It's the first update in 4 years, and it adds the 21:9 resolution, improved D-pad controls, and user interface improvements for quality of life. And on top of that, the ultra-wide support is kind of a rarity because not even Elden Ring supports it natively. So, pretty cool.
Yeah,
I mean,
I like that.
I'm still playing the SNES one, but, you know, it is what it is.
I like when they tweak retro titles like this, though, especially this is just a random update so far after the fact, but it does make you wonder, what are they plotting over there? I think this is great, you know, and, you know, yeah, I don't have an ultra-wide monitor myself, but I think it'd be a trip to see.
I'm tempted if it's going to be compatible on my Mac, I'm tempted to try it out.
Yeah, but I was gonna say, once you beat what you're working on, then say, okay, let's play it again, but on the ultra wide monitor. So, yeah. And you know what? The chat room is already starting shit on this whole Super Metroid versus Chrono Trigger thing, which is a years old joke. And I want to make sure we are absolutely clear on this. I have never said I hate Chrono Trigger. In fact, I like Chrono Trigger a lot. It's just, you know what? When they give the Oscars away, I would nominate Chrono Trigger for an Oscar. I just gave the statue to Super Metroid. It doesn't make Chrono Trigger bad. Get over it. And you know what? Many of you feel differently and we give the statue somewhere else. That is fine. Opinions. We have them. No, but I love that a retro game is getting updated like this and all these new, all this good stuff.
Totally.
Of course, since you all brought it up in chat, how much more would I love it if Nintendo would do some of this stuff on the PC? I know, Nintendo's whole MO is they've got to be played on Nintendo Plus, but give me a break. How fucking rad would that be if something like Super Metroid were playable on PC, officially on an ultra-wide monitor and all this stuff?
That'd be cool.
I would love that. I think a lot of people would. I know.
And I'm sure in 10 years when they finally catch up to modern day, maybe that we'll experience that.
Well, and plus, then when they put things on PCs, people can mod them, right, Loki?
Yes, they can. And so one example of that is this new leather jacket for Cloud that was made for Final Fantasy VII Remake Integrate. And there was some...
I love it.
There was some criticisms of the mod on Nexus Mods, basically saying that, hey, there's too much of his abs showing. Can you make a version without the midriff? And you got a deal, salesman. Can you make a version that doesn't expose the belly? Any way that we can get a version without the belly exposed? So the mod creator is like, done. His stomach is now covered. And they put a tramp stamp on him instead.
I love it.
This is one of my favorite trolls that has ever occurred in gaming history. I just want to say, whoever this modder is, who's the modder again?
The modder is Joy Jub. I don't know how to pronounce that.
Okay, name
J U I J U B.
You know who you are. I love what you've done here. Keep doing it. Make people mad.
Love to see it.
Love to see it. And you, here's the thing. If this mod's not for you, then this mod's not for you. There are thousands of other mods available. Go find one that's for you.
You know, if they're that insecure in their masculinity or their sexuality, ain't a problem with the mod, y'all. It's a problem with you. If you don't like it, don't use it.
I love Dark Tetsuya's saying here, stupid, sexy Cloud mod. That is the right comment. Stupid,
you know,
sexy
you're allowed
Cloud.
To be a little turned on by some you know, imaginary, fictional dude abs with a tramp stamp.
I mean,
you're allowed to.
Have you
rock that?
Have you ever looked at a bodybuilding magazine? Have you ever in your life seen a body? I mean, I know they don't really sell magazines anymore, but maybe you can think back to a time when you would see bodybuilding magazines. I mean, have you? Okay, I got a better one for you. And I'm going to hit some of you right in the jugular. So get ready. You ready? Have you ever watched pro wrestling?
Mm-hmm. Have you ever read a comic book?
All right.
With dudes like that. It's all man fantasy. Just saying.
I do like the Mega Man Buster arm that they have for Barrett, though. That's a pretty awesome looking mod.
See, there's lots of awesome stuff out there. It almost makes me want to get the game on PC just to fuck around with the mods. But I'll wait for Alan to inevitably buy it and stream it, because he'll mod it away. Because Alan is the one that got the Resident Evil 2 remake mod that had Leon or whoever's the star in that game. I don't remember if it was Leon or the other guy. Chris?
Chris is the one.
Okay.
Eventually.
Chris is just running around the entire game in his panties. That's the mod.
Oh, yeah.
Alan played the
whole
game.
That's the jockstrap mod, right?
I don't know. I don't think it was a jockstrap. I think it did cover the cheeks because he did have to walk a fine line with the Twitch terms of service. But it covered just enough. It was the bare minimum of what needs to be there. But you know what? If it had been a female character, no one would bat an eye. So, anyway.
Just put her in a hot tub and it's fine.
Humans.
Moving on. I thought maybe for a final note tonight, we could go back and talk about Mortal Kombat, because get ready, everyone. Mortal Kombat is turning 30.
Oh my God.
How old are you? Mortal Kombat is turning 30. So Ed Boon posted some tweets, and you can see his Twitter account at NoobDE. If you want to see his NOOBDE, and over at Ed Boon's Twitter account, he talks about some behind the scenes moment and actually shows a video where you can see where Scorpion and Sub-Zero's fight stances came from. And I did check out the video, which was funny, because in the video he talks about, well, you know, the ice dude is going to do that. Like, Sub-Zero didn't have a name yet. So they were just saying the ice dude or the ice ninja or whatever is going to, like, they didn't really have names yet. And he's actually explaining the whole, like, well, what we're going to do is we're just going to palette swap, you know, and change. And, you know, that was obviously a huge thing in the industry, to make new characters out of palette swaps. And obviously Mortal Kombat became hugely known for that, especially with those two characters, because what we had Sub-Zero, Scorpion, Ermac, Rain, who else?
Reptile.
There was just like a, and then honestly, Cyrax and all the Sektor
Smoke.
And all that was kind of, Smoke was all of that too. And then Melina, Katana, Jade was a palette swap thing. You know, Mortal Kombat lived and breathed palette swaps. So it was neat to see the kind of really early images of that. I mean, we've seen these behind the videos things from Mortal Kombat before, but I don't think we've seen these particular, you know, elements, and in this particular context, which I thought was really good. And you actually kind of hear the whole, both characters would feel different, and all it takes is 7 frames for the characters to not just have a palette swap, but to have stance changes, so that Scorpion and Sub-Zero really looked different when they stood there. Even if all their kicks were the same, even if the uppercuts were the same, et cetera, et cetera, it really just took those stance changes to really make them feel like separate characters. And I just thought that was kind of a neat thing to get into talking about and kind of see that there. So that was that was pretty cool. So if you haven't seen that video, check that out on Twitter. How about a listener roundtable? Every week we invite your emails, participate at orangelaundry.com, your phone calls at our Discord, bognetwork.com/discord in the green room, and other ways, other comments in chat if you have anything we haven't talked about that you'd like us to. I don't think I saw an email, but let me check in with the officiator of the email. Okay, well, there you go. So please send us emails. Participate at orangelaundry.com. Historically on the show, when there have been no emails, we'll talk about Drag Race, but I haven't watched. All I hear about the new season is that it's not going anywhere. Like, they never eliminate girls. Like, it's the Everybody Wins season.
I haven't watched in a while.
Yeah,
so.
I'm out of the loop. I guess it jumped the shark. Yeah. I don't know. I still support the art of drag and local queens, and even the ones on TV. Love them. But I just, I think the formula of that show is just,
yeah,
and kind of wore thin on.
Rue is also kind of antiquated now. I'm just gonna say it.
There's a lot of versions of the show that don't have Rue's involvement, but they're still derivative of this show. I feel like I'm just kind of seen it a million times, literally a million times at this point, you know?
Well, I like that when they bring out somebody who is different. Like, I really enjoyed Evie Oddly, for example. I enjoyed meeting Evie Oddly. What a fascinating person.
What I have heard about this season is that there's like five trans queens, and like four of them came out, because of this process, but during this process, whether it be on the show, after the show, or whatever it is. So, and I'm sorry if I'm getting the numbers wrong. I haven't been following that closely, but I know it's a significant amount of the contestants. So,
yeah.
Dark Tetsuya with a topic for us in chat says, I know y'all are probably not fans of GameStop, but they have the At Game Legends Gamer Mini for $50. I got me one, and it's super fun to play around with. It's the At Games Legend Gamer Mini. I think this is like one of those full arcade machines, but it's like very small. I'm trying to look. Okay, it's a controller, and you hook it up to a TV. Oh, that's pretty clever. So you, it's like a wireless arcade controller, and it has a streaming arcade console that it works with. And apparently there are 100 to 150 built. Actually, I'm not looking at the mini though. Oh, here's the mini. The mini is just smaller. It only has one side of it. Slots for the optional pinball kit. Really? That sounds kind of neat. Yeah, there's some buttons on the side that look like flippers. What's in this thing? Hold on now. Oh, jumping out right there. Bad Dudes versus Dragon Ninja right there. It's playing behind me here. Bubble Bobble, Burger Time, Elevator Action. What are the pinball games? Pinball. Maybe they're not in the mini. This is very much a mishmash of all these different games from different eras. Wow. That's pretty cool. What's in the big one? I want to see what pinball games are in the big one. I know you didn't bring up the big one, Dark Tetsuya, but I did. Oh, I don't see. Maybe the pinball thing must be a separate thing. You know what? I should go to the chat. They're probably yelling it out, and I'm not seeing it. Oh, it is a pinball upgrade. And Dr. Tetsuya says it is very easy to mod, apparently. Interesting. It looks, I mean, for $50, that seems like a lot. You have my interest. I'll have to check that out. We have a call coming into our Discord, and this is fun because I have yet to try this. So you'll have to excuse me while I'm rearranging the shot live on air, but let's get to it. We have a call, and I'd like to bring this individual on. Hello, you are on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
This is YYR. Hi.
Hi, YYR. How are you?
Not bad, but wait, we've yet to try this? Oh, that's right. This is the first time you're taking a call from your new digs, isn't it?
Click, 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 ding. You got it.
Nice, nice. And I even have my camera set up this time.
Congrats. I will get you. I will get. Actually, it didn't fuck up the shot as much as I thought it would. So I will get you on the screen shortly. But while I work on that, why don't you tell us what's on your mind tonight?
Well, actually, a couple of things. But first off, I just kind of wanted to reply to your reply from my email from last week, because I think it's an interesting conversation, honestly. But, you know, I started off by saying that I found Metroid Fusion to be disappointing because it switched things up too much for me. Whereas, you know, then you brought up Dread and how, you know, it kind of forced you to play a little differently, and that kind of threw you off a little bit. And I have to say, I actually felt the same. As I started to deal with the Emmy zones and how they basically force you, because honestly, like, that's kind of how I played Metroid also in the past, kind of slowly, deliberately, you know, take my time exploring. The opposite of a speed run. I didn't find myself charging through any particular areas or anything like that. You know, I would generally play more slowly. So now these Emmy zones are forcing me to kind of dash through and attack aggressively and you know, just completely, it took me out of my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And then I realized maybe that was on purpose, and I kind of, it kind of made me feel more like, you know, well, I'm the best damn bounty hunter in the galaxy. I should be doing this. I should be feeling like I'm, you know, going to attack aggressively and burn through these Emmy zones and not be afraid of this thing that is charging at me and can one-shot me, you know. And I kind of like it. You know, it took me out of my comfort zone in a way that I kind of actually did not dislike and then grew to like eventually.
That's the wonderful thing about the dialogue we have here at YYR is that everybody is entitled to a wrong opinion occasionally. It's fine. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, that's what Jamie said last week.
Hey, it's a good line.
Yeah, it's still true.
Now, but, go ahead and finish your thought. Ahead. And then I have to get to a chat comment about you.
Oh, sure. But yeah, the difference between, you know, the having to play a different style and what I brought up last week is that I liked the change in Dread because it added on to what I enjoyed about Metroid, the exploration and the action. Whereas with the changes in Fusion, I felt that it took away, specifically the exploration. I didn't feel as if I was lost and, you know, stranded in an unfamiliar world with no idea where I was or where to go. You know, that's kind of what I look for in my Metroid.
And I'm the first to admit, and I will, you know, especially when it comes to Dread, I think we're just going to disagree on the other, and that's fine. You know, we don't all like the same games. It is what it is. That's why every gamer gets a voice. But as far as Dread goes, I will be the first to admit, I need to give the game another shot. You know, and this happens all the time, and I think we've all had a game in the history or a movie or some piece of art where, like, the first time we were like, eh? And then we go back and revisit it at a certain, and just maybe we realize maybe it was just the certain time in our life, or now here we are in this day and age, it's patches have changed the game and upgraded the game. I don't think that'll be the case with Dread, but still, you just reapproach the game at a different time, and it's like, you know what, this hits different. And that's what happened with Mass Effect for, I think, both Dark Soccer and I. And Dark Soccer, I don't know if I'm speaking out of turn, but I feel like Dead by Daylight might have been a thing like that for you. It's because that game's been out for years, so surely it crossed your path at some point. You
it
paid
was
it no dime.
The lore that got me.
Yeah. So
it,
yeah,
I'm a lore nerd, and I had been vaguely interested in it before, but I was always like, I will only want to play Killer, and I will get motion sick. Well, guess what? I only play Killer, and I get motion sick, but I don't care.
And you've kind of figured out your methods to, you know, that's why you do AFK breaks and streaming and stuff.
Playing with this thing.
Oh, is that a trackball?
It is a trackball. I have to play with a trackball. I cannot use a regular mouse anymore. My wrist will start hurting in seconds. And
same.
So I play Dead by Daylight with a thumb trackball, or as our mutual streamer friend Bourbon says, I play in hard mode. Because I can't 360.
Yeah.
I developed other techniques.
I can see how sometimes, like, I'm like, oh, that you can see that's the trackball. But it's interesting, and I think we have to remember not every game can be accessed the same way. You know.
Well, you also see what I do instead of when they start to 360, I stop.
Right. That's what it is. It's seeing how people adjust to those sorts.
Exactly.
Wait, why? Oh, so you can't 360 not because of the trackball, but because you'll get the
I can't
motion
turn
sick,
around
right?
fast enough with the trackball.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
Because I would actually have to swivel it around to do a 360.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But instead, and this actually throws a lot of people off, when I see that they're looking behind them, they're either going to do dead hard, which is where they run super far ahead, or they're going to spin back around, I just stop. And they run right back into me.
That's pretty funny.
And I laugh my ass off, and they don't know why I did that. I was like, because I use a thumb track ball. End of story.
Now, I said I would bring this up with YYR, and it was a comment in the chat that said, Dark Tetsuya says, Love how he just happens to have the Egrent Mini running kicks right behind him there on the screen. When we talking about kicks. So how intentional was this placement?
I cannot be outdone, but everyone's got their arcade cabinets running in the background. This is the best I could do, all right?
Hey, to be fair, Darksoccer,
I have an art table.
Darksoccer's pinball machines are on the other side of that door, so we don't get to see them.
They're in the
screen.
Living room. Yeah. We moved the couch.
Yeah.
And of course I'm running kicks on it because, well, it was already brought up earlier in the show, so it's why not? But you know what? Because I have it on the screen, I can show off one of its really awesome features.
But since this, you brought it
you'll
up.
Notice the, you'll notice the monitor is oriented vertically, right? You push in, and then you can turn the monitor just
so
like that.
Show.
Nice.
Oh, and it even flipped the screen like your phone does when you turn it on its side. That's cute.
But this cabinet has in it a lot of games that were meant to run vertically and then others that were meant to run horizontally, and you can just flip it at will. So it fixes one of the big problems that arcade diehards had back in the day, where we had games that the home versions would run in rotated mode, but then you got to rotate your damn TV. Mm-hmm. So, which is a pain in the butt.
Well,
it's heavy.
What a sham wow moment YYR just gave us there, showing us how it works.
That's funny.
Oh, no, now, and we'll double your order.
What's the kickback those mini makers are giving you, YYR? That's what I want to know. All right.
Nothing at all.
I'm teasing. anything else on your mind tonight, YYR, before we let you go?
Just one other thing. So no. I've been working on, I'm finishing up the mini games for the expansion for Super Multitasking. I am still working on it. Hades has done a lot of damage. I discovered that game recently, and it has definitely cut into my development time.
Valid excuse.
As has Forza Horizon 5. But you know what? It's like I discovered when COVID started that I have to take care of myself too. I have to take some time out. I have to play some games, not just work on them. But I am finally getting around to finishing the mini games. And the name of my expansion was always going to be Super Multitasking versus Ultimate. Versus Ultimate because it had the versus mode and the ultimate game set. And now, all of a sudden, I hate it. Because I want the final version of the game to appeal to as many people as possible. Already, I'm going to be adding some accessibility features inspired by some games I've played recently. For example, when you go into the mission mode, which is what the challenge mode was and what it will now be called, you'll get the options. Okay, here are all the different courses. You can speed run them or not. Difficulty. Would you like to play it at 100% difficulty? No? Okay. Then lower it to 90%, 75%, or 50%. And there'll be separate leaderboards for that as well. So anyone can compete. Anyone can test their skills at the level they want to. Nice. So, but now if you just look at the name, if you look at something, it's like versus ultimate. That doesn't sound accessible. That doesn't sound inviting. That doesn't sound like an invitation. It sounds like you're throwing down the gauntlet, you know? I don't want people to think of it that way. So I think I know what I want to call it, but I wanted to take a straw poll here of chat, perhaps, and you guys. What do you think sounds better? Super Multitasking Ultimate or Super Duper Multitasking?
Super Duper.
I love Super Duper. I'm sorry. Like, as a sequel, because the first one's been done before. But for you to come out and call it Super Duper Multi, that's fucking funny. And
I'm down.
That's jumps out. See, for me, I was like, oh, maybe you could call it like Super Multitasking Party. Because like party, it means that like everybody gets to come to the party and play at the party. But now that you've said Super Duper Multitasking, it's too good. It's too good.
And there's also Super Duper Multitasking for Matching Service EX Plus Alpha.
I might not go with that one.
I know, and then I was saying, I was gonna appeal to your Bomani fan senses and say Super Multitasking Final Mix, but then when you were talking about the whole accessibility, I was like, oh, that's like party though. I like that, but super. I guess Bobby is running an official poll at our chat room right now, so you can have some statistics behind your decision. But we
YYR, super multitasking 64 says Pod Culture.
Please know we support you no matter what you do. So even if this poll is extremely lopsided, you do what it's your game at the end of the day. You do what your heart wants to do. And if you decide to rename the game Dumpster Fire, we'll still play it. You know what?
Dumpster multitasking.
Dumpster diving multitasking. Absolutely. I'll get my suitcase. We're moving in. So I know that now see you're getting all this consulting for free here. And the poll is running for those that are in our live chat. Just, you know, you might have to take a look at the chat box, the drop, but you can actually do the poll. Fifth Dream says, put a tiny super and a giant duper in the logo.
I could have them scaling in and out. Maybe.
That would be funny.
Oh my God.
If it looks good.
Fifth Dream featuring with the Dante word from game, the devil. Just realized that you can't spell dumpster without duper. Oh my God. Mind blown. And they
that
said,
is unbelievable.
They said, you're a wizard, Fifth Dream. You are. They said Wordle
have to find
was
some
a
way
useless
to do
skill.
This.
YYR, I wow. don't mean to add more to your plate, but you know now there needs to be a hidden button input that makes the extra letters appear.
I should be able to fit this in the dumpster.
Okay.
I mean, fit it in, period.
Put it on the project plan. By the way,
you should actually add a specific level about a dumpster on fire.
89% of the participating
chat
believes
you can call it Dark Sakura's brain.
Super duper multitasking is the better name. But you know what? 11% still did like the other names. So again, you do what you need to do. You'll have fans.
And 11% of the people were wrong.
Now stop that. All right.
That's pretty wild. Well, thank you. Thank you for the feedback, everybody. I appreciate it. And it's one of several things I'm working on at the moment. And hopefully at least one of them will come out this year.
You got this. I know you do.
I believe in you.
All right, YYR. I'm going to let you go so we can wrap up the show. But thanks so much for the call. It's always a delight to talk to you. Always a dumpster.
Okay.
Super duper time.
Always a dumpster.
All right.
Never a fire. All right. Well, enjoy.
Take care, my friend.
Enjoy your
you
week,
too.
Everybody. Take care. Have fun.
You too. Bye. All right, YYR here on Lounge Radio. Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. My mind is still blown at that talent to recognize that the word duper is in the word dumpster. And it's all in order, too. It's just some extra letters.
You know what? You know what Wordscapes has taught me, Rob?
Hmm.
You can't spell subtext without butt sex.
All
I
right.
learned things.
Well, there's no more subtext here on Orange Lounge Radio because I think it's time to go ahead and wrap up for the night. But we can't do that until we go run and get everybody's final thoughts. But we can't do that until we get to last minute stories because I forgot them last week. So I'm not going to forget them this week. Loki, do we have any last minute stories?
Fortunately, I don't have anything I want to cover.
Sure. The night I remember, you don't have anything. I know there was a lot of...
We had some other stuff like...
Okay, sure. And that's it. That's all right. Thank you, as always, folks, for tuning into Orange Lounge Radio. Whether you were here live with us on Sunday nights over at Twitch, or you were listening on our podcast feed through a client like iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever it is you use to listen to podcasts, thank you for making Orange Lounge Radio a stop along the way. You don't have to give us your money here at Orange Lounge Radio. Some of you do anyway, and we're really thankful for that. All we ask, tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. And you know what? If more people want to come here and tell me my opinion on Metroid is wrong, I will give them a limited amount of time to do so.
It's always publicity, right?
We will be cutting them off at a certain point, but you can have a voice for a moment. In all seriousness, thank you, everybody who does participate every week and along with the show and all that good stuff. Hey, you can leave us a comment over at vognetwork.com. You can send us a tweet at OLR. Pretty much, you could probably send a carrier pigeon to us if you know where to send it. Like, I'll look at the feedback wherever you got it. So send it our way. Technically, we have a Facebook Messenger account. I just hardly ever check it, but it's there. You could send a message there. Whatever. Just let us know you're there and having fun. I hope you are. It's time to go around and get everybody's final thoughts. We'll be back next week, of course. Do this all over again. For now, let's get folks' final thoughts. Dark Sakura, I am assuming you are off to Trackball Killer Adventures, getting some 360 survivors. Your final thought for us tonight.
I think I'm still gonna work on Billy. I was so close a few times, and I don't know who I want to do after Billy. I think I'm gonna do Cenobite. I might do him, but still, I've got Blight out of the way. That makes me ridiculously happy. And you can see my attempts in about 5 minutes.
All right. Well, fingers crossed you get another one tonight. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right. We'll see you next time. Loki, you have a final thought for us tonight.
Yeah, I forgot to mention it when I was talking about my gaming week, but I put out a new video, which is the start of a new Minecraft series.
I saw that on Discord.
A new hardcore series. So it's an experimental 119 hardcore series. So it has the new Warden in it, which is like this like big boss character. And this stuff called Skulk, which is basically they have these sensors and shriekers which detect vibrations. So it makes everything you do in Minecraft very difficult, especially when it's spread along the world. So I have a new series called The Deep Dark World. You should check it out. It's kind of cinematic, I guess. I tried to edit it in a very cinematic way. It has some really great music with it. And yeah, I'm pretty proud of it. And it's one of the only videos that actually got picked up by the YouTube algorithms. So
I saw you talking about that, and I found it very interesting that I guess your SEO or whatever, like more people are finding videos to that.
Yeah, I don't know if it's that or just because there's not really any 1.9 there, because they just did a 1.19 like Minecraft preview thing that came out with the LA and stuff. And so there's some of people probably looking at that, but I don't know, it's picked up in search and recommended now, so I don't normally have my videos do that, which is weird. And I get a lot of comments from people going like, well, I was surprised that your channel had such quality videos. I'm like, okay, except no one still subscribes. I have like 20% of the people that watch my videos, hey, probably less than that actually subscribe. So
keep at it, because you're seeing that it's a slow burn, but it's burning, and more people are discovering it. So if you get one more momentum. Subscriber, it's but God, the water looks so fucking good on your version.
Yeah, it's those shaders, and it's going to even be better now that I can run them like twice the frame rate as it was before. So it'll be nice.
All right. Excited to see more. So check that out over at Loki's YouTube channel over at, not that screen. Sorry, I'm going to mess up sometimes. Over at youtube.com/LokiOLR. I don't really have a great final thought tonight. Just that I'm very thankful for the opportunities I've been given this year. I talked a little bit about that. Like my live hosting stuff has come through in a big way, and I'm really appreciative about that. I'm appreciative I get to do Dragon Con as a guest again this year. And I'm appreciative you guys tune in to listen to the show and participate and just be a part of it. It's awesome. I think this week, Alan and I will do a co-stream, so stay tuned for that. We're very excited to do that and either survive together in space or in Dead by Daylight, or probably eventually both. So, that's it. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in to Orange Lounge Radio. I hope you had a wonderful week, and we'll see you again next time. I'm glad we got a almost full 3-hour show again tonight. We've had some short shows lately, so I'm glad we got a good one, even if there was some difficult news this week. But it was a good discussion. Thanks, everyone, for keeping it civil and being cool. Have a great night, everybody. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for our live show, tune in to VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio nor VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.